2 weeks later, he left for basic training. Oh, I cried my eyes out that day his train left the
car dealership.
But we rode to each other every day. I rode my bike the 10 miles to the
high rise
each morning, just so I could meet the mail when it got there. 4 years later, he came home to me, and we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
I watch you drink, and I fear for our future.
I hate you, and I feel ashamed.
I confront you, and I fear losing control.
I love you, and my heart aches with sadness.
I wish you would just stop drinking.
We know what you feel because we've been there. We're Al-Anon and Alateen. Call 888-4-ALANON.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you today, and doggone happy to be with you. My goodness, have we got a great show planned for you today. I mean a big one. We're going to start off, well, in a few minutes, we're going to have a gal by the name of Teresa Barnwell with us. And she is America's most recognized Hillary Clinton impersonator. She's going to be a lot of fun. We're having a big bash here tonight in Collier County. It's our annual Jefferson Jackson banquet, and she's going to appear there. We're going to have a good time with that. And George McGovern's going to be our featured speaker, and yours truly is going to speak there as well. Got the old tux waiting to jump into it and have a good time later on this evening. So I want to say hello to all of our Democratic friends down in Collier County. And, of course, here there'll be some folks here in Lee County attend that as well. We want to say hi to everybody out there on the Internet, people from all around the country, all around the world listening to the program. We're so glad to have you along with us. And our local folks here, too, all of our great Democratic clubs in the area. We've gotten such a great response from those folks when we've been around speaking to those clubs recently, and it's just great to talk to them. It really is. I've never in my political career seen the party energized like it is now. It's a pleasure. It's just an absolute pleasure. The first campaign I ever actively worked in was the Kennedy campaign in 1960, and that was a kick for a young man. That was my first real foray into politics, and the old bug bit me pretty good that year, and that was a thrilling ride. But I tell you, I haven't been that energized since. I really haven't. And we've got great things coming up, and I think we're going to get the White House back. I really do. I'm feeling very confident about it. Not overconfident, but we can do it. And it's fantastic to see the response from all the Democrats in the area. The Democratic clubs are growing tremendously. Many more folks there than we normally have, and it's just a great thing. And of course, you know, a little later on, we're going to have Dennis Kucinich is going to call us in. He's campaigning out in Texas. And lest some of you think, what in the world is Dennis campaigning for? He can't win. Well, there's a lot of us that would like to have a voice in the Democratic platform this year. And that's how we're going to get it. Dennis Kucinich stands for a lot of positions that your hardcore average Joe Democrat believes in, and he will represent us at the convention. And so we'd like to send Dennis to the convention with some delegates. So he's going to call us in, call in just a little later on today, and we're about 4 o'clock. We're going to have Tony Welsh, press secretary for the DNC, is going to call in. going to talk about this massive pile of money that the Republicans are spending on the campaign already. They're starting to open up their purse strings and spend the money. And you know what's coming, so now it starts. The conservative Republicans have bared their fangs already and started what promises to be, in my opinion, a nonstop, relentless, vicious attack on John Kerry. It started already. And, you know, it's, I like to say it's a good thing Jesus isn't running as a Democrat, because they wouldn't have any mercy on him either. They'd have a whole bunch of scuttlebutt about Jesus, even if he was running as a Democrat. With a couple of $100 million to spend on attack ads, the Republicans could probably convince the folks with less than average IQ, and make no mistake about it, those are the people they target with those whiny, schmaltzy ads declaring that Bush is the second coming and keeps us safe and secure from all threats, foreign and domestic. Those are the people they're targeting. They really could probably convince those less bright folks that Kerry's the devil himself. That's what they'll do. They did it to Mike Dukakis. I'm sure some of you remember that, and they've tried it to every Democratic campaign with money, money, money. Just listen to what the pervasive right-wing radio has been saying. Do you listen to any of it? I know, I know, I know, I do. I listen to it to find out what's going on. Limbaugh has accused Kerry of having an extramarital affair, even after the entire nation has heard that it's nothing more than a vicious rumor, but he's going to keep pounding, pounding, pounding away with that. And that accusation will hang around, because they know that if they say it enough, some folks will believe it. So be ready for that. Hannity has called Kerry the best friend North Korea ever had. Where did that come from? That whiny Hannity, he just can't, well, he can't have 5 minutes with it without just going off on Kerry. Yeah, the best friend North Korea that could ever have. And Neil Bortz. I don't know how many of you listen to Neil Bortz, but he's the biggest loser of them all. He has stated that the Democrats would do anything, commit any crime, any dastardly deed, no matter how low and immoral, to get the White House back. All of those right-wing boys I just mentioned resort to outright lies and deceptions every day they're on the air, but Bortz is the most offensive and the champion liar of them all. And let me give you a quick example of the objectionable offensive content of his program this past week. This past week, he took a phone call from a woman who claimed that she was worried about Bush's safety because, she said, he had the same Secret Service protectors that Clinton had. Bortz then chimed in and said he agreed with her, and I quote Bortz now, "I know the Clintons, I've met both of them, and I know they would do anything, and I mean anything, to get the White House back." He emphasized that the Clintons would do anything several times. You know, the word anything covers a lot of ground. He just didn't have the guts to say what it was he was alluding to, but you know, don't you? He was saying that they would do anything. Of course, you know what he was talking about, and for a man to say that on the air and accuse the former First Lady and President of doing anything to get the White House back is a vile and offensive thing to do. Nothing Bubba the Love Sponge or Howard Stern or Janet Jackson have ever done on the air compares whatsoever to what Bortz did. First of all, I checked my sources, and Bortz does not, as he said, know the Clintons at all. They didn't know him from Adam. Not in the slightest does he know them. I'm told they didn't even know who he was, and then he told his listeners he knows them. Well, Bortz is an out-and-out liar on that one, and he's also a raving lunatic if he's going to accuse the former president and first lady of being capable of doing anything, to quote him again, anything, and I mean anything, unquote, to regain the White House. That's the most disgraceful charge I've ever heard from any of those right-wing hate mongers. They're committed, absolutely committed, to telling lie after lie after lie about John Kerry, and they've got the money to do it. They've got the radio stations to do it. We expected it, and now they've started. Well, it's not going to work this time. The Democrats are ready for it, and we'll fight back this time. You see, we think our country's in grave danger from this small group of radical extremists, and we're not going to sit back and allow them to continue their agenda, which includes the virtual extinction of the middle class. And I, for one, will not allow the good name of John Kerry to be sullied by this bunch of crazies. Yes, crazies. That's what Bush's own father called some of them in his own administration when talking about Wolfowitz and Pearl and Crystal and other influential members of this administration. He knew. Listen, John Kerry doesn't have a murky background like his opponent. He doesn't have a string of failed business ventures to his credit like Mr. Bush. He hasn't been investigated about insider trading and then let off the hook by his father's friends like Mr. Bush was. He wasn't missing for months at a time from his military duty like his opponent. And oddly enough, John Kerry's friends from his military days do remember him, unlike Mr. Bush's experience in the National Guard. He didn't need his daddy's name to get accepted into Yale either. He didn't ride on his daddy's name to achieve anything. He earned his own way. And one of the most obvious differences between John Kerry and his opponent is that Senator Kerry can speak coherently with words containing more than one syllable, unlike Mr. Bush's awful, often feeble-minded utterances. So my right-wing friends, go ahead and sling the mud. We all know you're very capable of doing it in style, but it's going to be different this time around. Very different. I want you to know that right up front. You're going to get a fight from the Democrats this year. You're not going to sit back and take it like we've been doing. No, sir. That's why all these people have been coming to these Democratic Club meetings. That's why primary voting numbers around the country were sky high. That's why many of the independents around the country that voted in the primary, you know who they were voting for. And why? People that have lost their jobs, people that are insecure about their financial future, people that figure Mr. Bush isn't being quite straight with us on a lot of counts. So look out, my Republican friends. We're coming for you. We're going to get the White House back this year, maybe a few seats in Congress as well. Hey, we'd love you to call the show. You can give us a call, of course, here locally. You can call us at 479-5540. For those of you in Canada, that's 239-479-5540. Or if you're someplace outside our area, call us toll-free at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You got that? You got five toll-free numbers to call in, and we're looking forward to you calling in and help make this a great program today. So much going on, as there always is, in this political climate we're living in. And like I said, Mr. Bush now has decided that it's time for him to bare his fangs and get going. Hey, speaking of Mr. Bush, I would like to, you know, his brother Neil is getting married today, and George is not going to the ceremony. No, he's not going to his own brother's wedding. Of course, his brother just got divorced very recently, and where he had to testify that he caught... This is Neil we're talking about. You know, he had to testify in a deposition that he'd contracted herpes from those... let's say it like it is, whores over in Thailand, several of them that visited his room. He contracted herpes and just got divorced, and now he's getting married again. And his brother, George, isn't going to the wedding, although George is right down there in Crawford, Texas, not that far from Houston. You'd think he'd drop on by his brother's wedding. You know what? He doesn't want to be seen anywhere near Neil Bush right now, his own brother. He doesn't want a damn thing to do with him right now. He's going to stay away from him. He's going to avoid his own brother like the plague. Maybe he'll talk to him on the phone a little later. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show at WPTK Power Talk 1200 here in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll give you those numbers as soon as we come back, and you stay with us. We're going to have a great show.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James. Your future theater.
Miss Hodge, your resume says you're in the Air National Guard, and this is supposed to impress me?
30 weeks of intense training in electronics and telecommunications, sir.
But, Miss Hodge, this is an accounting firm.
Well, the Air Guard helped me pay my way through college, where I got my accounting degree with honors.
Job training? Money for college? Can the Air National Guard help Miss Hodge land a successful career? Here are some scenes from the next episode of Fuel Your Future Theater.
But Miss Hodge, if you have a communications career in the Air Guard, there's no way you could also work here as an accountant.
No problem. The Air Guard is part-time.
I'm impressed. When can you start?
Get the whole story. Call 1-800-2-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-2-GO-ANG and fuel your future.
The environment we've created for ourselves has given pests the opportunity to create serious public health issues. Mosquitoes may transmit West Nile virus.
Cockroaches can trigger asthma.
Insect stings force 500,000 people to the emergency room
every year.
And rodents could spread hantavirus.
But we can make it harder for these pests to survive.
To learn how, visit pestworld.org.
It's up to all of us, you know.
No one knows your child better than you. The color of her eyes, the warmth of her smile. But can you perform CPR? What if she were choking or unconscious? Each year, 30 million kids need emergency care. And no matter how much you think you know, you can always be better prepared. Talk with your healthcare provider or call for a brochure. 1-888-ASK-HRSA and get the right care when it counts.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, you bet. We're back and having a good time here at the show. I'm going to have Teresa Barnwell coming up in just a moment, but first I'm going to take a call from Sonny. Sonny, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing, partner?
Great.
2 points.
Yeah.
One, Jesus wouldn't be a Democrat because he's pro-life. And number two, Bush won't go to the wedding because he doesn't want to steal any thunder away from this man's special day.
You actually believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, come on. You mean,
come on.
You don't want to go, you don't want to go to his brother's own wedding, huh?
Well, why steal his thunder? Why steal his
thunder? Let me tell you something. It's all in all every newspaper in the United States and on the news that this guy got herpes from visiting whores in Thailand and got a messy, messy divorce.
Not everybody can have an intern, you know?
Huh?
Not everybody can have their own private intern.
That's right. That's right. Not everybody can have their own private intern. But see, we're talking about the Bush family right now, and they're not exactly clean,
are they? You're the one spitting out. Well, he never said he was clean. He said he had a past.
Yeah, he said he had a past. In fact, Sonny, it's a real recent past. You see, George Bush is a brother. This happened not too long ago. Not too long ago. And, of course, the Bushes are really great people, you know. They're just such nice people. And their house is completely clean. And that's what they want us to think. Well, anyway, we're going to go and move on right now. And we've got Teresa Barnwell in the studio with us. And let me tell you, folks, I had dinner with Hillary Clinton about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Not just Hillary and I. There was about 15, 20 other people there. And I got to tell you, this is pretty eerie sitting here. It's the same experience. It looks exactly like her. Teresa, welcome to the program. Have we got her microphone on? I'm not sure we do. Well, you'll get that corrected here in just a moment, I'm sure. Is her mic on? Okay, we'll get that checked out here. Try that microphone again.
Okay.
All right, we're okay now.
Thank you for having me here today. It's a pleasure.
Yes. How long you been doing this as Hillary? Do you want me to call you a Hillary double? Do you want me to call you a Hillary impersonator?
Well, I'm a lookalike, and I'm a celebrity impersonator. It's referred to in several ways, so it's fine. Whatever you want to call me, that's fine.
Okay. Well, you do look remarkably like it. And for everybody's benefit, we're having a big to-do tonight, our annual Jefferson Jackson banquet down in Collier County, Florida. And it's in Naples, and Teresa's going to be a real hit at that party tonight. I can tell you that much. There's going to be about, 350 rabid Democrats there tonight. And I know they're gonna love it when you walk in.
Oh, I hope so. Hopefully, we'll have a lot of fun.
Well, there might be a few of them had a drink or two there, and when you walk in, you know, that's going to create quite a stir. And you've been doing this for how long now?
Since 1993, shortly after Hillary became our first lady, then I started to get work as a Hillary Clinton impersonator lookalike. And I've been doing it pretty steadily ever since.
How did you happen to start doing this? You have all your friends and neighbors can come to you and say, hey, you really look like Hillary Clinton.
Basically, that's how it started. As Hillary became famous and well-known and recognizable, then people started stopping me everywhere and telling me, you look just like Hillary Clinton, or has anybody ever told you that you look like Hillary Clinton? And I was just a regular businesswoman, just kind of minding my own business, and I had a normal, average, everyday kind of a life. No interest in showbiz or any desires really per se to become an actress or whatever, but I did happen to live in the Los Angeles area in Orange County, and I began to realize, hey, this is getting serious. And so some of my friends said, hey, you might as well just take advantage of the resemblance and become one of those lookalikes. And I was like, what? You know, people would actually pay me to pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah.
And I found out that, yes, there is an aspect of the entertainment business for celebrity impersonators. And before I knew it, I was in the middle of it and doing quite well and having a great time with it.
Well, let me ask, were you busier while she was first lady or busier now that she's a senator?
Well, I would say I was busier while she was first lady, but I sort of expected it to be over when the Clintons left the White House. But to my surprise, it's kind of carried over because of the Clintons' massive popularity around the world and the fact that she's now a senator. And people are just very intrigued. They're very interested in her. And so that has kind of carried over and trickled down to me. So I'm still working.
Well, Hillary does carry some weight in Washington. There's no question. She may be a junior senator, but I want to tell you, a lot of the other senior senators look up to her and know
That's
that
true.
She's a genuine power broker in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you may have something else in store with this someday. If she ever aspires to go back to the White House as the chief executive,
I know. I wish she would tell me what her plans are because, you know, it has an impact on my life. But, of course, I don't think she's going to run, obviously, in 2004. I think if she's going to run, then 2008 will be her time. And if she wants it, it's hers. Everybody tells me that, people that I run into. And people think that if anybody could be our first woman president, it would be Hillary Clinton.
Oh, absolutely. We're ready. The country's ready.
I think so.
The Republicans aren't ready.
No.
they still expect their women to walk several paces behind them and mind what they say. They're not ready for a strong woman like Hillary Clinton.
No. But, I mean, she's been elected to public office now. She's lived in the White House. She knows and understands politics in Washington, D.C. So she'd be just ripe and ready to go. She'd be perfect. So
tell me, what's your private life? And not, I don't want to get too detailed in your private life, but when you're out and about nowadays, do you wear sunglasses? Do you wear your hair differently so people won't bother you?
Well, I do wear my hair just a little differently from the way Hillary is currently wearing it because I still want to have kind of a sense of my own self. But most of the time I tend to frequent, you know, the same dry cleaners and the same grocery store. And so people there know me, and so they don't pick on me too much about the resemblance. But I never know sometimes when I'm going to run into somebody who tells me I look like Hillary, or sometimes I run into what I refer to as the Rush Limbaugh fanatics who just did not like the Clintons at all, and they will tell me what they think, and they start ranting and raving, and it really makes me crazy sometimes. But
I have a great big 11x14 picture of Hillary and myself on my wall.
Uh-huh.
And people get to walk by this and see this in my other office.
Uh-huh.
And now and then one of them will stop, and just recently some guy stopped and looked up and says, boy, I hate her. And I said, you hate her. You must know her then. He said, no, I don't know her. I don't know her, but I hate her. And I said, well, if you don't know her, someone, how can you hate them? I mean, you don't know. He said, well, I hate everything she stands for. And I said, would you mind telling me what does she stand for then? Do you know?
Right.
Well,
right.
And he moved on. That's what you usually get.
Right. I ran into a lot of that over the years. In fact, I can't tell you how many Republicans came up to me during the first 4 years of my work as a Hillary Clinton impersonator and told me, well, you better enjoy this while you can because there's no way that Bill Clinton is going to get reelected. So on election night, you know, when it became apparent that, yes, Bill was going to have a second term, all I could think about was all those people who had told me this isn't going to happen, and I was just like, na 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 na.
Oh, yeah. Folks, this is remarkable. I'm looking right into her. I'm going to tell you. the resemblance is uncanny. Probably more like any double that I think I've ever seen. I've seen my share of celebrity doubles. And you were, boy.
But I'm so much younger.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, I was surprised. I was surprised when I first met Hillary Clinton. It was, a couple of years ago. She is a very gracious lady. She's a very elegant lady. She dresses to the nines, as they say. And I think she really looks great. I really do. And she's out in public, so pleasant. She's not this, I don't know, they like to paint her some kind of a witch, you know. I mean, I just think she's so friendly and nice. And
it's unfortunate that a strong, assertive woman gets labeled that way. It's really too bad. But I had the good fortune to meet Hillary as well, and she was very nice to me, very gracious. So I was really thrilled to get to meet her and get a picture with her so that I could see for myself the two of us standing by side, so I could see the resemblance and see what everybody was telling me.
Well, it had to be like looking in a mirror.
It was pretty freaky. It was. I got major goosebumps when I saw that picture the first time.
Oh, yeah. I wish the rest of you, I wish there's some way you could, I wish we had a studio cam here today for all of our friends out on the Internet to see this, because it's pretty remarkable. It really is. We're not like Limbaugh. We don't have the studio cam. We're not like Limbaugh in a lot of ways.
Well, your listeners can visit my website, and they can see this picture of Hillary and myself together. It's www.HillaryLookalike.com, and remember, Hillary has two L's and no space, no dash, just HillaryLookalike.com.
Great. Now you're going to make an appearance tonight at our Jefferson Jackson banquet in Naples. You do a lot of Jefferson Jackson banquets, I'm sure.
I think this is the first one that I've done.
Really?
Quite honestly. So well, is this a tradition that's carried forth in a lot of places?
Or? Yeah. It really is, and it's more so this year than any year.
Well, in California, there's a Harry Truman banquet I know of in Orange County, so they must name them after, you know, very...
Well, Jefferson and Jackson were instrumental in starting the party as it really is today, and that's, we like to say that Jefferson gave the party its being, and Jackson gave the party its meaning.
So that's
where we're at with that. Jeez, I get goosebumps when I'm talking about Jefferson and Jackson. I got a great Jefferson quote to give you a little later on today. Wish I could find it right now. But you've been on some great programs. You've been on...
Yes. I was very lucky in that. I lived in Orange County, and I was very close to Hollywood. So I got connected with The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and I've appeared on his show, 30, 40 times, I kind of lost count. And I did a lot of the other sitcoms, Mad TV, Roseanne, The Nanny, Step by Step, just any show that had a part for the First Lady. I was very fortunate, and I got to do a lot of television work and a couple of films. I did a Leslie Nielsen movie called 2001, A Space Travesty. So I've had a lot of fun. I've traveled all over the United States. I've worked overseas. It's just been phenomenal.
Do you have to belong to the Actors Union and all?
Yes. Eventually, I worked enough to where I qualified, and I was in a must-join situation. So I am a member of the Screen Actors Guild as well as AFTRA.
Oh, boy. I know I keep saying this, but I wish you folks could be here. This is really something. It's eerie. Are you as tall as Hillary?
She's a little bit taller than I am. I'm 5'2", and I think she must be around 5'4", 5'5", somewhere in there. So she's a little bit taller, a little bit older. We're the same astrology sign. She has a daughter named Chelsea, And I used to have a golden retriever that I happened to name Chelsea. And that was before I ever met the Clintons or heard of them or anything. So.
Where's your home? I mean, where are you originally from?
I was born and raised in North Carolina.
I detected a little of that in
you. Right. There's still a little southern twang there.
Yeah.
But after I married, my husband works for a corporation that took us around the country several times as he got promoted and moved up. So right now I live in Costa Mesa, California, in Orange County.
What does your husband think about all this?
Well, he didn't quite know what to think of it in the beginning. It was kind of a strange and new thing for him. But he's enjoyed it. I think he's appreciated some of the things that I've gotten to do that he's been able to experience as well. He's done a little traveling with me, so he's gotten to go on some of the great trips that I've had and meet a few of the interesting people. But he's normally so busy with his regular job that, you know, after a while, you know, the novelty kind of wore off for him. But he's fine with it. You know, he's happy for me to work and travel and have these great experiences.
Have you had to give up? You mentioned you had another career before this. Have you had to completely give that up to do what you're doing now?
Well, right now all I'm doing is the Hillary impersonation work. But, yes, eventually I gave up trying to work at a normal job. I really tried to juggle both at first because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how much work I was going to get, and it seemed kind of silly and frivolous at first, and I just was very serious about my regular work, and I truly tried to juggle both, but as time wore on, it became more and more difficult, because sometimes I would get very short notice. You know, sometimes the Tonight Show would call and say, can you come up to our studio right now and tape a little comedy sketch? So I'd have to drop everything and take off and make sure I had my bases covered, and after a while, it just got a little crazy, but I did have some good situations where I was allowed some flexibility, but even after a while, just circumstances got to where I just decided to do it full time and do nothing else.
I can see where initially you might think, maybe this isn't for real, maybe this won't last, maybe it's some sort of an anomaly and won't go on
right.
And on, but it's been going on for what, 10, 11 years?
Yeah,
now?
Since 93.
Oh, boy. That really is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Teresa, it's awfully good to have you here in the studio today.
Thank you. It's a great thing for me to be here, and I just want to say that I've just finished a book about my life of the past 10 years. My editor currently has it, but hopefully it'll be out sometime this year. And right now the title is Looking Like Hillary, My Life and Adventures as a Hillary Clinton Impersonator.
And they, where can they visit you once again?
www.hillarylookalike.com. And as soon as I know more about when my book is coming out, I'm sure I'll have something on the website to
Well, you let us know. We'll be able to pass it on as well anytime.
Oh, great.
Sure.
Thank
sure.
you so much.
Happy. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I wish every one of my listeners could have been here for this. I really do. I've been around Mrs. Clinton, and boy, this is really something. It really is. I think everybody in the building, when she saw Teresa come in today, that ooh. So I warned a couple of them that you were coming.
Anyway. And I'm not even in costume.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you tonight at the banquet. I know you're going to be a big hit, and it was a real pleasure having you with us today.
Hope so. Thanks again.
We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK, Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back, and we want you to give us a call when we come back, and we'll give you the phone numbers then. Stay tuned now.
The Guy James Show.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles might bother some, but not me. When I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday. But thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's life-saving research, survival rates have increased dramatically. My cancer's in remission. If that means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Did you know there are other signs of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels? Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, or swelling of the face, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. If you have any signs of rosacea, see a dermatologist or call the National Rosacea Society at 1-888-NO-BLUSH.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah, we want you to give us a call. Got a couple lines open right now, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 045, toll-free numbers for you. Give us a call. And if you happen to be in Canada or someplace locally here, 239-479-5540. Yes, that was an experience, I got to tell you. If you've, I know I'm being redundant here, but I have never seen a double look more like the person they're impersonating, that Theresa Barnhill being Hillary Clinton. It was just like actually having Hillary in the studio. My goodness, amazing, amazing resemblance. My, I saw a picture of her, and I thought, well, you know, that's a picture. But man, oh man, in person, it's really something. Hey, we were talking about the eloquence of our president not too long ago. I wanted you to hear this.
Some of the other members of the crew are here as well. Where are they, Robbie? Where are the members of your crew? Well, they must have couldn't pass the security check.
Must have couldn't watch the pass the security check? Must have couldn't? This is the leader of the free world. This is the guy that some of you are proud to have as your leader. Musta couldn't. You know those people who were laughing there, they weren't laughing at a joke. They were laughing because he sounded so stupid when he made that remark. Musta couldn't. Oh, you know, I hate to have to say stuff like that about the President of the United States, but come on. This is a guy that went to Yale. Went to Yale, and he must have couldn't have passed the security. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, George is, he amazes even me sometimes. He really does. I hear some of the things he says, and I'm flabbergasted that a guy like that ever got to the presidency of the United States. Now, when you sit back and look at the whole situation, the money involved, and, you know, how he got there, you know, yes, he was the governor of Texas. From what I understand, my friends in Texas and the research I've done, there isn't a state in the union where the governor has less power and less influence than the governor of Texas. It's a very ceremonial position. I mean, it's still the governor, still got elected, but W didn't exactly have a lot of experience when he got here, and I hear he was not all that interested in when he was the governor of Texas, and of course he always seems rather detached. When he's on around, you know, when you see him on TV, it just seems like he's not connected. We're going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Great.
I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud to say it.
Me too. And I'll say it again. A lot of folks call themselves progressive nowadays. Call me a liberal Democrat.
Well, Rush Limbaugh's warned everybody that us, we liberals are not going to tell you who we are because we're so ashamed, but that's another thing.
Well, yeah, Rush Limbaugh said that.
And another thing that we hear from Rush over and over and over is that we don't just disagree with this Bush administration. We personally hate all of them. And hey, to disprove that, I would like you to join me to wish Attorney General John Ashcroft a quick recovery, although I can't agree with him on anything. I sure hope he's all right and gets out of that hospital.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, crime is probably running amok right now while he's in the hospital. And we want him to get out and recover because, after all, we wouldn't have that attorney general to talk about like John Ashcroft. And let's face it, he's probably had more discussion about him than any attorney general in my memory anyway, maybe since Bobby Kennedy and his crime fighting back in those days. But what was wrong with Ashcroft?
I think it was a kidney stone, but then there were a lot of complications. It could be very serious. So seriously, I do hope he's okay on that. I don't agree with him on anything though.
No, we do wish him well and hope he gets out soon. That's the difference. They talk about all this hate over George Bush. I don't hate George Bush.
He's a likable guy. If you had him on for an hour, you'd probably like the guy. Are we going to vote for him? No, we're not.
No, he might be a good guy to have a beer with, you know.
He
could sit there and impress you with his knowledge of, something. I mean, I'm sure he's got some knowledge about something.
Something about the primaries here in Florida. I'm hearing so many people say, we know who the nominee is going to be, so just stay home. Please, my brother and sister Democrats, get out there and vote. Even though we know what the outcome is going to be, because if you want to send a message to the politicians, and Florida is not what it used to be. Florida is a real swing state, and it's better than calling the 202 number to Washington and talk to some assistant janitor. This will send a message that the Democrats are united, and they are going to vote for the right person this time.
Haven't seen the party this united in a very long time.
I was a little appalled to see the firefighters in that Republican commercial. The firefighters are a natural enemy of the Republicans. I'm talking in generalizations. They're middle-class, unionized people, and they're under the most severe attack because of who they are. And I think it's pathetic that the only thing, ask yourself this question, how many firefighters have been laid off since 9/11? How many firefighters have gotten the equipment that they need and the money they need to maintain, and they're the first responders? And the Republican administration has turned their back on them, except for the photo op. And I think it's a disgrace having them in that commercial.
Well, it is a disgrace. And you know, the Republicans had a good time saying, oh, look at the Democrats hollering about that commercial. Well, here's my objection to that commercial. Roosevelt probably used Pearl Harbor. I don't know. Of course, he didn't use it on TV. But they probably used that back when. But at least they were consistent. Here's a guy, and his administration says, no, we can't photograph or in any way intrude upon the soldiers coming back in caskets in Dover, Delaware. We have to respect their privacy, and we just can't do that. But on the other hand, we can play that commercial with the firemen carrying the dead people away from 9/11 all we want to.
I think that was awful, and I disagree with you. You said that what Neil Bortz did, which was not very nice, what you said about that, but I don't think that's the worst thing I've seen. To me, the worst was when Bill Clinton was fighting against a coup d'etat against the Republicans, and Rush Limbaugh came on the air and used his freedom of speech to tell a big fib that Vince Foster did not commit suicide, and the financial markets across the country began to drop, and the government people had to make emergency announcements. That wasn't true. The next day, Roger Ailes went on the IMA show and admitted that there was no evidence to back up that fib, and it caused a lot of destruction, and Rush Limbaugh is the one that told that fib, and he got caught that time. So I would ask the people out there, listen to the show, but you better take it with a big bag, a 100-pound bag of salt when you're listening.
Well, and you know, I was listening that day, Bill, and he had B1 Bob Dornan of California with him on the program that day. And between the two of them, they pumped out, yes, we've got information that Vince Gill was murdered by Hillary Clinton, and then his body was dumped out in that park. Yeah, they actually said that, folks.
Yeah, and that Hillary and him were lovers and everything. Now, Vince Foster was a very clean, respectable person, and okay, he probably had a nervous breakdown and committed suicide, but use something like that in such a horrendous political way when you know it's not true, and you just happen to get caught that time. I believe that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Well, you're probably right. They have no shame. And, of course, Limbaugh that time that he called Chelsea the White House dog.
So that was
that's pretty low, too. They'll resort to anything. Bill, thanks so much
for your
call. All
right, guys. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Let's see. Who we got waiting right here? We've got Keith and Benita. Keith, welcome to the program.
How are you doing today?
Great.
I think we ought to just find a common ground.
You know, it's just name calling back and forth, you know, just using that little high school, grade school stuff for calling names. But just grab the common ground and go with that.
What's the common ground right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I think it's this nation turn around and get back to the roots, what it originally did 200 years ago, and have a moral character and a moral compass that we've lost.
Well, whose fault is that?
Everybody's. We let it seep in a little at a time. And now it's so murky, we're just like, yeah, it's just a little. Well, it adds up. You know, it's like poison. You can take a little poison, take a little, it doesn't hurt you. But if you take it every day for a couple of weeks, you're dead.
And, of course, the Republicans would have you believe that the moral decay of the country is due to the Democrats and due to the... I've never ever uttered that the Republicans were guilty of the moral decay.
Well, see, I'm saying everybody's guilty.
Yeah.
You want to sit there and split and divide, saying this. I said find the common ground. We're all guilty of it. If we don't stand up for what's right, we'll fall for everything.
Well,
that's what's happened.
I don't split and divide. I spend my time answering charges, usually. And
I didn't make any charges. I made a statement.
No, not your charges. I'm saying from been coming from the right and from these commercials they've been putting on the air right now. We are going to refute every charge that comes up. Right, Keith Ivers.
One question.
Yes.
If the Democrats put up a lie and put up BS, are you going to sit there and say, "Hey, this was wrong and out of whack"?
Absolutely.
All right. I'll be listening.
Absolutely. If they tell a lie, I'll be one of the first ones to jump on it, and I can promise you that. I always do.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
When Bill Clinton was caught, finally found out that he was lying,
mm-hmm.
did you jump on him?
Yeah. I thought it was terrible. It wasn't worthy of impeachment. But it was
definitely bad for leadership. You know?
It was bad for leadership, but you can't compare it to what's going on now. You can't compare lying about sex to I didn't like it when he looked square in that camera and looked us straight in the eye and said, "I did not have sex with him." Well, I thought that was terrible. But if you're going to say how did you trust Bill Clinton after that, how in the world can you ever trust anything George Bush says after this whoppers they told to get into Iraq? I mean, it was one after another, and I would contend that's a little more serious than a lie about that.
The information we fed wasn't pure.
No, they tried to blame it on the CIA, and we now know that the CIA and our intelligence agency gave them one caveat after another, and they of course ignored every one of them. Keith, thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate it very much. We've got Amanda on the phone right now. Amanda in Georgia, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Guy. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. I want to congratulate you and wish you the best of luck tonight at the Jefferson Jackson Center.
Well, thank you. We're really looking forward to it.
I've had a busy week, very busy week up here. Went to the Kerry.
Can you speak up a little?
Yeah, I'm supposed to have a problem with my phone.
Yeah.
Went to the Kerry, a rally at the Tabernacle Monday night.
Uh-huh.
Had a great time with the band of brothers that were on stage. And, of course, spent a little time with John Lewis. That was a lot of fun. And then I went and voted Tuesday and had a little bit of voter intimidation up here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In what way?
Well, it must have been just on Tuesday. It must have been in the rural areas because I had a Kerry bumper sticker on the back of the car.
Uh-huh.
And was run off the road.
Twice. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Twice, right when I went to turn into the polling place. So I had to report that to the Kerry campaign. And that wasn't news to them. They had heard of several things in the rural areas where people... Then I was... there was a winger who had must have listened to Neil Bork.
Oh, yeah.
My Kerry label. He called me a communist.
Yeah. Well, Bortz is nuts. I mean, I frankly heard that one show this week where he said Hillary and Bill were capable, and I quote, of anything. And that just infuriates me.
I just can't listen to Neil Bortz. He's sitting right up here in Atlanta.
No, he's totally crazy. Some of the stuff he said, you know, he said, "Well, I know the Clintons." Oh, come on. Like the Clintons would have anything to do with...
I don't think they would lower themselves to his
face. No, not they wouldn't. We have our primary coming up Tuesday, and we're going to do something down here that I think they're doing around the nation quite a few places, and I, for one, am going to do it in my precinct. We're going to man the precincts, whatever the law allows, away from the polling place door, And we're going to sign up Democrats as they come to the... Of course, it'll be nothing but Democrats, so we're going to sign them up, and we're going to add to our database so that we can have better communications than we've ever had. And
it's been done here, Guy, because I checked out... I talked to the people at the polls, my husband and I both did, and I said, how many registered people do you have here? And they said 1,500, but only 178 have come to vote.
Oh, wow.
So if I had been run off the road, maybe the other... 1,300, 1,400 experienced some problems getting there as well.
Yeah.
I also, I'm a little bit concerned about this Haiti thing, too. I was watching it on C-SPAN. This Roger Noriega.
Yes.
Assistant Secretary of State for the Western Hemisphere Affairs. I tell you, that's kind of disturbing with even questions about what really happened to that leader in Haiti.
Yeah, I would like to know exactly what happened there. We're hearing all kinds of stories. Some of them are very disturbing.
You've heard my CD, so you know the lady singing at the beginning, the writer?
Yes.
She's been corresponding with me lately, and she said, I really wish the female artists of Nashville would get out here and do a little bit more to say something. Her name is Christy Jackson, and she's recently written a song. She's wanting to get more politically active, too, so that's encouraging.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you a question. I know you're involved in disabled veterans affairs and so forth. What did you think of John McCain's statement about that? I can't think of that guy's name now, head of the Vietnam Vets Against John Kerry. McCain sure set him straight.
He really did. The thing about what a lot of people don't realize is so many of the veterans who came back from Vietnam were like in a blender and still are. And, John Kerry was a young man who I am sure had issues with what was going on over there when he came back. So, yeah, you're right. John McCain did set it straight.
And yeah, he said the guy was deranged. He said he, that one of the worst people he ever had the misfortune of meeting.
He said what? I must have missed that particular part.
He said the guy that's ahead of that Vietnam Vets organization against Kerry, McCain came out and said... No, Vietnam Vets Against Kerry, that organization, that guy that's ahead of it, John McCain came out and defended Kerry and said that guy's deranged and he's one of the worst people he ever had the misfortune to meet.
I can't believe that because the guy who ran into me at the post office who tried to jerk off the label, the Kerry label, said, I'm a vet and you're a communist. And I said, well, my husband is a Vietnam vet, a disabled Vietnam vet. And I said, that doesn't make me a communist. I said, don't pull that veterans thing on me. I have a veterans organization. What have you done?
Yeah.
So that was the kind of thing that, I can't believe he's nuts because I ran into a nut today at the post office, Tuesday, right after I had finished voting. I said, two incidents in one day. And, of course, John McCain, he makes a lot of sense. He really does. He knows what those guys are through about.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is just the beginning. Amanda, thank you so much for your... Hey, give us a plug on your CD.
Oh, okay. Anybody that wants to take this country back can listen to it. I need to really clarify that it's not a singing CD. It is a narration.
And a very nice one at that.
Thank you, Guy. And it's some facts. It's all documented regarding George W. Bush and this administration. And if you want a copy... go to cafepress.com and just type in focus group now. I picked that name because he reduced us all down to a focus group if we didn't agree with everything he said. So it's cafepress.com, focus group now.
All right, great. And also you can see a banner up on the Guy James website, and that'll take you there as well.
Thank you, Guy, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, me too. Thanks very much. We've got others on the phone, but I'm going to ask them to wait until after the news at the top of the hour. We're getting close to the top of the hour, so we're going to wait before we take any more until we have any more phone calls. I spoke earlier about Thomas Jefferson and his infinite wisdom, and he had the foresight to look into the future and as far as laws and so forth in this country. I thought this was so. This is inscribed in his tomb. I am not an advocate for frequent changes in laws and constitution, but laws and constitutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. As that becomes more developed, more enlightened, as new discoveries are made, as new truths are discovered and manners and opinions change, with the change of circumstances, institutions must advance also to keep pace with the times. We might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him as a boy, as civilized society to remain ever under the regimen if their barbarous ancestors. So Thomas Jefferson, being the progressive man he was able to look into the future and know that now and then things would change and we couldn't always stay the same. You're listening to the Guy James Show. You're WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news at the top of the hour.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The president straddling the fence on the Mexican border. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush let his guests do the talking about immigration matters during his weekend summit in Crawford, Texas, with Mexican President Vicente Fox. ABC's Ann Compton in Crawford.
President Bush favors allowing some Mexican workers access to U.S. jobs, but knows many fellow conservatives oppose that as amnesty.
I oppose amnesty, placing undocumented workers on the automatic path to citizenship.
Visiting President Fox of Mexico thanked President Bush for a new policy on short U.S. visits that will spare some Mexicans fingerprinting at the border. Ann Compton, ABC News, Crawford, Texas.
John Kerry, campaigning today in Houston, pointed out that Texas has lost 84,000 jobs since Mr. Bush has been president. On health care?
Health care is not a privilege for the powerful and the connected. It is a right for all Americans, and we're going to make a health care plan available to all Americans.
Texas is one of several states holding primaries Tuesday. Missing body parts at the UCLA Med School. And now, says ABC's Barbara Britt,
two UCLA employees have been placed on leave while the university's police department investigates whether they stole and sold body parts from cadavers donated to UCLA's medical school, reports the Los Angeles Times. It's not the first time the school's cadaver program has been investigated. 8 years ago, relatives of people whose bodies had been donated sued the medical school, charging thousands of cadavers had been illegally disposed of. That lawsuit is still pending. Barbara Britt, ABC News.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is one of two minds on the same-sex marriage issue. He says gay couples deserve the same rights in civil unions that straight couples enjoy in marriage, though Bloomberg said he'll continue to enforce a New York State ban on gay marriage. This is ABC News.
When a photo from an ordinary printer gets wet, it might sound like this.
Oh, baby, I like the way you move.
Faded.
Oh, baby,
watered down.
I like the way you groove.
And washed on. But use an Epson All-in-One, and you'll get something entirely different.
What's he talking about?
I'm talking about this.
Oh, baby, baby, I like the way you move.
You see, with Epson's exclusive DuraBright inks, you'll get pictures that resist damage from water. So even when wet, they're a hard act to follow.
I could have done that.
Right. For more information about brilliance that lasts, visit Epson.com.
See the full line of DuraBright printers, including the Epson Stylus CX5400 and 6400 all-in-ones with water-resistant ink starting at $129 after a $20 mail-in rebate at Micro Center, the ultimate computer store.
In 1941, the USO was born to honor and comfort the men and women of our armed forces around the world. Men and women who have put our dreams and our futures above their own, who protect and defend the freedoms we hold so dear. And burning in every one of their hearts is a singular, undeniable desire to come home, to return to the ones they love, to realize their dreams, to be free and at peace. And so the USO will carry on, to touch their spirits, to comfort them, to remind them to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Wherever and whenever they go, until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every song is sung and every battle won, until everyone comes home. To find out more about the USO, visit us at uso.org.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
My husband and I met at a
strip mall
dance. It was a beautiful old
strip mall.
I had seen my husband before at a big rally at the
highway on ramp
for all the men who had enlisted. He was going to war. 4 years later, we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Today, as a parent, you could face everything from broken shoelaces to dreams of college. And there's a place to talk about parenting challenges you face every day. National PTA. Across the country, PTAs are sharing ideas, lending support, and fighting for quality education on behalf of every child. If you want to be part of it, you'll find our members are easy to talk to. Because this is one association where you don't just join, you belong.
National PTA. Every child, one voice. You can join by calling 800-307-4-PTA or at pta.org.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, Guy James with you here. Hey, before I go any farther, I want to give you the phone numbers again. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Toll-free numbers for you to call, folks. We want you to call in. This is a talk show, but I don't do all the talking. You understand that? So it's always good to have you involved in the program. That's what makes a show like this go. You know, I had somebody send me an email today, and wouldn't you know, I think this defines the difference between Democrats and Republicans as about as well as you can. His answer, he sent me an article this guy did about the rising price of gasoline. We all know how we're getting gouged for that right now, right? And so he gave, you know, what's the response to that? You ask the average Democrat about the rising price of gas, and what's the average Democrat going to say? I'll tell you what the average Democrat's going to say. I've talked to many of them about this. We're going to say, you know, we've got to conserve. We've got to turn, most of all, we've got to turn to research and find an alternative fuel because, you know, the day's coming when there's not going to be any more oil. We're just about to that peak oil spot right now. And what are we going to do when there's no more oil? So that's what the average Democrat says. But here's what the average Republican says when you talk about the high price of gas. We got to drill more.
We got to drill in Anwar. We got to drill every place there is in the world. We got to get that oil out of there. Forget about that peak oil crisis. Just drill, 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 and give massive tax cuts to those who do. Can anything emphasize the difference between the two parties any more than that? Hey, right now, it's always my pleasure to have a gentleman who's, well, he's right there in the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C., always knows what's going on, and always well-informed. We got our friend Tony Welsh, Press Secretary of the DNC, with us. Tony, welcome to the show.
Sometimes things slip by us, you know?
Well, I haven't seen too much slip past you, my friend.
Thanks a lot. It's been an incredible week. We are so thrilled to have our nominee. We send our congratulations, obviously, to Senator Kerry, but the other nine candidates as well. It's quite a race. We are raring to go to take on George W. Bush.
Lots of hubbub this week about them starting their massive ad campaign. It started, and what do you think so far?
Well, I know you noticed this because anyone paying attention could figure this out. The amazing thing, if you watch those ads, there's no mention of the president's record in those ads. I find it interesting. You're the incumbent president. You've been in office for 3 years, and your first ad, which is the first introduction, if you will, of the president's record, there is no mention of the president's record. And that's beyond the flap that this has created with the families of the 9/11 victims who are objecting to the images of the remains of the victims being used in the president's ad. Say what you want. We don't say the president can't talk about 9/11. No one's saying that at all. But to show the image of remains, the firefighters carrying the remains away from the World Trade Center is absolutely objectionable. But according to most of the families, that folks have talked to. I find it unconscionable.
Well, Tony, we got to be fair here, though. If you were Bush now, if you sat there and think about it, what are you going to talk about as your record? What could you talk about? You can't talk about the economy. You can't talk about job growth. You sure as hell can't talk about Social Security. What are you going to talk about?
Well, I just did a show with my counterpart at the RNC, and they said, well, we're going to talk about jobs. There was a little line in a story in the Washington Post about what the president was planning to do in his media ads. And the whole idea was that the president was going to talk about his plans, his proposals. And I'm thinking, you'll probably realize this too, wait a minute, you're the guy who's been in office for 3 years.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you've done and how we're on the right track. And, of course, that's what defies rational conventional belief. It's because Americans know. More than 60% are now saying that the country is on the wrong track, and they want change. Did you see the movie by any chance, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
There's a line about the politician in there. He's talking about, you know, what to do to win the coming election, and they said, well, we ought to do what the challenger's doing. He said he wants to run on the reform candidate, and the candidate says, you idiot, we can't run on reform. We're the incumbents.
Yeah.
So Bush, you know, the way of looking at it is Bush is going to run on that. Now, understand, we're tied in the polls today, or we're running ahead, depending on which polls you believe. And it's true that the president does have more than $100 million to use to try to tear John Kerry down. We know that that's going to happen. But I remember, I'll think back to the old Coke ads. Remember when old Coke went to new Coke?
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the money in the world, all the advertising in the world could not convince American people that that was a good product.
That's
it's
right.
It's about the product. And that ad money we will neutralize, no doubt.
Well, you're right about the Coke thing, and I just don't think any amount of money this year is going to be able to overcome the truth. The truth's going to win out in this, and I just don't. You know, Tony, I've talked to a lot of my Republican friends lately who are very, very disturbed about the way things are going.
Sure. If you've got kids in college, and if you know folks, you know that the economy isn't going strong. You know, 8 million Americans. They eliminated the overtime pay for 8 million Americans. Those are people who count on overtime pay to pay the bills, to pay for sending their kids to college, and so on. I mean, that is as serious as it gets. Now, if you've seen the Bush line of attack against Kerry, they're trying to say he's on this side of the issue and that side of the issue.
Oh, yes.
Why don't we, anybody can do this. Anybody paying just a little bit of attention could point out any number of areas where this president has said one thing while another is true. There would be Iraq's looking for nuclear weapons from Niger. They weren't. We'll create 2.6 million jobs this year. No, we won't. We're for outsourcing. No, we're not. We're for outsourcing American jobs to foreign countries. No, we're not for that. We'll create a million jobs because of my tax cuts. Those don't happen. I mean, the list goes on. There are weapons of mass destruction. There aren't. I mean, the list goes on and on and on from this White House. This president has zero credibility with the majority of the American people right now.
Well, I heard one of my broadcasting friends the other day say, you know, their entire platform right now is over, let me see if I can think how I put it, God, guns, and gays. That's what the platform is. They're going to talk about gay marriage. They're going to talk about how they're the God party, and you know, the gay marriage thing's got them upset too.
That's another flip flop on the part of President Bush on the gay marriage. It's interesting. He said that should be left up to the states, and then when he finds himself in trouble, he's willing to change. Another flip flop, of course, is on the using 9/11. The president told the Democrats in Congress that he had no interest whatsoever in using 9/11 as a political ploy, using it politically. And since then, as you well know, it has become the issue for the Bush campaign.
Oh, yeah.
As his credibility dwindles away, I think today, sure, it's a close election, but I think once he's put under the microscope, I see problems in every state for him. Every state's dealing with the economy. Every state's dealing with people losing health care. And every voter has to wonder whether or not what this president is telling you is true.
Oh, yeah, I'm to the point, and I hate to be this way about my president. They say the simplest things now, and I'm going, well, I don't know. I don't think I believe that. And I don't want to be that skeptical about the president. I hate to be that cynical. I do.
Immediately question it. But after you get so many of these where they sell you the case and it simply is not true, then of course you're going to start to wonder. Of course you are.
Tony, are you like the rest of us now? I mean, you're right there in the DNC office. First of all, for some of our newer friends, I want you to clear something up for us. You know, they look at the DNC and in a presidential campaign like this and say, why didn't the DNC do this about Kerry's campaign, and why didn't the DNC do that about Kerry's campaign? Explain why you don't do anything about the Kerry campaign.
To the Kerry campaign, we would offer to every other campaign as well, because we weren't going to pick sides. The American people were going to choose who our nominee is going to be, and they have. But you're right. We don't the candidate, especially message, because you know what we hear all the time out there is, here's what we need to be talking about. Here's what the DNC should be talking about, and so on. That's something you hear a lot. And the fact is, we don't set the message. The nominee will set the message, because they're the ones with the voting records and so on. We don't vote on things, as you will at the DNC, but we do everything we possibly can to support Democrats and to help them win. And so we get those calls at the DNC, and sometimes, you know, people very good-naturedly want to help the campaign. They've got a great idea, and they want to pass along, and if they're great ideas, we'll pass them along for them. Just because they're running the campaigns doesn't mean they're perfect, and sometimes great ideas make it into the campaign and they seize upon it, and that, I tell you, it's a great problem to have, because sometimes if you're at work and you've got a lot of things to do and you get a million ideas, you would think, well, what a pain. But I'll tell you, it's a sign that Democrats are more energized than ever about, and more serious than I can ever imagine them being in winning back the White House.
Well, you know, Tony, I don't know how you feel about it, but when the primary first started this year, and we had 10 people involved. To myself, I'm going, oh, man, this is going to be bloodletting. This is going to be terrible. But I feel so good about the way it went, and I'm so proud of our party right now. You know, you stop and look at this. We had 10 people up there, and, you know, just quickly, you know, John Kerry, a seasoned veteran with great foreign policy expertise. You know, Dennis Kucinich, really representing the ideals of the true Democratic Party. You know, Carol Mosley Braun, representing women and minorities, and an eloquent spokesperson for both. General Clark, you know, a natural-born leader in military. You know, Al Sharpton, is there anybody more passionate for minority issues than him? And you know, our own Bob Graham here in Florida. Has there ever been a finer man walk the halls of Congress than Bob Graham? No, and Joe Lieberman, highly respected senator with great vision. Howard Dean, look what Howard Dean did for the Democratic Party this year. Get the youth involved. And Dick Gebhardt, God, what can you say about Dick? One of the most respected guys in Congress. And of course, John Edwards, a true son of the South. Oh, I'm so proud of the way these people carried themselves and showed the diversity of the Democratic Party and the inclusiveness that we stand for.
Well, I got to tell you, it has been quite a race, and you're absolutely right. We had stellar, absolutely stellar candidates, and a very good process. You know, it wasn't as if they didn't mix it up a bit. Of course, it got tough. It's a very, very real and important campaign. But we all know how important Florida is going to be in this race. I think it's one of the reasons you're hearing Bob Graham's name mentioned alongside Bill Nelson's name as potential running mates for John Kerry. A reporter asked me the other day, he said, you know, since we know the nominee, what's the benefit of a Florida voter going to the poll? And I said, there's nothing you could do more than having a big turnout that would strike fear in the hearts of Karl Rove and George W. Bush.
Oh, yeah.
If there is a big Florida turnout for the Democratic nomination, I tell you, if you go to on this day, that will show how enthused Democrats are about this race and about our nominee. And that, and, you know, it's not just Democrats, though. What the White House sees exactly what we're seeing at the DNC. I've been watching the polls since last summer, and there is a gap among independents that has been at double digits since last summer. The president is failing with independence, and that's going to hurt him in places, the swing states like Florida, especially the I-4 corridor of Florida. It's also going to hurt him in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Missouri, because the middle of the road of this country wants something better. They say this president does not have America on the right track, and they want to do something about it.
Well, we're going to do something about it. I've never seen Democrats so energized as they are right now. I know you're out and about, and when I go out to see Democratic clubs, and we're having our Jefferson Jackson banquet here tonight in Collier County down in Naples, and it's going to be a humdinger. And I can tell you what, it's going to be an electric atmosphere tonight.
Are you going to be down there?
Yes, I am.
I'll tell you how in tune the DNC is to Collier County. You tell Chuck Mulkey that Tony Welch said hello.
I sure will. He'll love to hear that. Chuck, is there a finer mind? You want to know anything about politics in Florida, stats, whatever, facts and figures, Chuck's got them.
Well, he's awesome. Now, you know I used to be with the state party.
Yes.
I tell you, there's. I'll tell you a little secret, as a matter of fact. Say what you want about the rest of the state, but I was able to run a little test a few years ago. And this test was that actually we needed Democrats to help turn folks out. And I'm going to tell you something. Chuck Mulkey in Collier County turned out more people than in any place else in the state.
Wow. Well, Chuck's
I just want to let you know that.
Chuck's a tireless worker. A tireless worker for the party, really is. Tony, thanks so much for being with us today. Stay in touch. I know we'll be back and forth many times between now and the election. But I can't wait. I really can't.
I know you're going to keep folks fired up, and we thank you. We thank you for that. That's how we win.
Well, we've got a few Democratic radio hosts across the country that are going to try and do our part to fight against this left-wing media control, but we're going to do our part.
All right.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Welsh, press secretary of the Democratic National Committee. He was formerly here in Florida as press secretary of the Florida Party. And I tell you, Tony knows Florida politics, and he knows, he knows Democratic politics all the way across the country. A very well-versed man. You see him on TV all the time. He makes a great guest on TV. They love to have him, and we'd love to have him on the program here as well. I think we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back. You hear?
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Two 200 years ago, Lewis and Clark discovered the West. That is, if you don't count the millions of American Indians who discovered it first. Because in 1804, Lewis and Clark left one civilization only to encounter dozens of others. Rich, diverse cultures like the Lemhi Shoshone, Clatsops, and Mandan Hadatsis. Cultures that had thrived on the Great Plains and Pacific Coast for thousands of years and despite everything are still here today. The Indians Lewis and Clark met could have ended their expedition many times, but saved it instead. Many times. With their food, horses, and compassion. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Mom was having such a hard time taking care of Dad, and herself, too. Now they're getting help through the National Family Caregiver Support Program with things like meals, cleaning, helping to make their home safe, and finding a companion for Dad to give Mom a break. To find help near you, call the Elder Care Locator at 1-800-677-1116 or visit eldercare.gov. Brought to you by the Administration on Aging, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCRAF.
Back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, we're back with you, and of course we had some public service announcements there. And we don't usually have sponsors on this program, but we do have one today, and we're going to play their commercial right now.
My friends, there's nothing good about drug use. We know it. It destroys individuals. It destroys families. Drug use, some might say, is destroying this country.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the Guy James Show is brought to you by OxyContin. Once you pop them, you can't stop them.
Yes, sirree, OxyContin, one of our fine, fine sponsors here. And, of course, I know you, all of you are keeping track of the Rush Limbaugh saga right now. Did you ever see anybody squeal like a stuck pig like Rush Limbaugh has since he got caught with about the buying illegal drugs and, pain medication? Anybody else that buys it, it's illegal drugs. But when Rush buys it, it's pain medication for unbearable pain for Rush. He's in more pain than anybody who ever lived. And I guess his pharmacy was located in the parking lot of Denny's. Right, Rush? And have you ever seen anything so hypocritical as Rush Limbaugh, a man who has lambasted, and I mean punished, the ACLU over the years, now defending Rush Limbaugh? Is that... I got to tell you, if I were Rush Limbaugh, and the ACLU came to me, and I'm very proud of what the ACLU has done across the country. But if I was Limbaugh, and I wanted to keep from looking like the world's worst hypocrite, if the ACLU offered to help me, I'd say, no, guys, really, I can't, because I've, you know what I've said over the years, I'd look like the world's worst hypocrite if I took your assistance. But no, Rush, yeah, jump right in there. Hey, we've got Harry in New York. Harry, welcome to the Guy James Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Great to have you with us.
Well, I'm calling to partly speak about more radio DJs or whatever they are. Howard Stern, I'm sure you guys have heard what's been happening.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in New York, so I get to hear him all the time. He spoke out against the Bush crew. Boom. Next day, Clear Channel, who donates a lot of money, by the way, to Howard Stern, takes him off the air. And this is a big thing in America where these Republicans are just trying to silence dissent. They don't want people talking about what's actually going on in this country. Howard Stern was very even-handed. You know, he was for the war big time, even though he voted for Gore and whatever else. One minute, next minute, he says that, that Kerry can do the job, and boom, they pull him right off the air.
Oh, what Howard Stern had to say doesn't compare with some of the horrible comments from guys like, you know, Mike Savage and Limbaugh and this Neil Bortz. I mean, some of the people are maniacal with some of the things they say. But, you know, here's Stern. He's an entertainer. He's not a politician. And I think you're absolutely right, and I think Stern has it exactly right. He said something against the wrong boy this time, and they're going to punish him big time for it.
All right, and the one other quick thing I wanted to say was I'm in New York. You know, I stared down 7th Avenue, 9/11, and saw what was going on there. And for Bush and all these other guys to be putting firefighters and dead people, because there's actually a dead person under that flag, in their ads, is disgusting. There aren't enough words for it. It's unbelievable. He won't let us see pictures of dead people coming in from Iraq, but dead people on 9/11 on his commercials are just fine. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, Harry, I'm offended by it, but I'm going to tell them, go right ahead and do it. Just keep doing it. And I think the public might wise up and see just exactly what this is all about after, I might add, after they promise not to use that for political gain. They've done it anyway.
Right.
And also, I am hearing undercurrents. I don't know how public some of this is, but I'm starting to hear undercurrents that he may give his acceptance speech from the 9/11 area. Now, if that happens, that'd be a little too much for me, I can tell you that. Harry, thanks so much for your call. I think we lost Harry. But Harry, I do appreciate your call very, very much. We probably will never, ever in our lives, I hope, never see a dirtier campaign that's coming up. You know, you can buy a lot of mud with a couple of $100 million, and I think they dropped about $10 million on it this week, what I read on TV and so forth, about $10 million on those ads. I didn't think they were all that great. And like Tony Welsh said, they weren't about his record. And if you've been president for 3 years and you don't have anything to talk about your record, you know, that's pretty weak, don't you think? I mean, that's really weak. He's got no record to talk about. Has he won the war on the terror? Hell no. I think it's just begun. You know, the terrorists are back at work in Afghanistan. Iraq is a mess. And I don't know about the rest of you, but do you feel safer right now? I don't. I don't think the majority of people feel any safer. I don't go around worrying about it every day, but this country is not any safer. I mean, there's loopholes after loopholes, and, you know, they didn't properly fund the Homeland Security. They didn't properly, I can't talk today. They didn't fund that properly. There's just not enough money for the firefighters and the first responders. And, of course, our borders are wide open. And, you know, they haven't done a drop in the bucket as to what needs to be done to keep this country safe. Sure, we probably stopped some terrorist attack, but there's going to be more. There's going to be more. And I'm not saying necessarily any administration could stop it all. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But don't stand there as this God-chosen hero who has defended America and kept us safe from all enemies home and abroad. No, no, because, it simply hasn't happened. We're not any safer than we were. We've got Diane on the line. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. Thanks for taking me on your show. The thing I'm calling about is how he's using and exploiting 911. When his very commission is not wanting to investigate it properly. They're trying to wrap it up as fast as they can. And if you'll remember, probably within the last month I called your show and I made accusations, it's starting to look more and more in my favor. And I can't believe that the American people are not appalled in that he is with this commission. They finally let it go 60 more days longer. They're going to get to interview Bush 1 hour in private. That's all. And I find it hilarious. It would be funny, but the world's just too serious right now for people to laugh at it. And you talk about his record, he can't bring it out. Well, that's because the only way he could bring his record out is that it would impress inmates in prison.
Yeah, you've got a point there. Have a point there.
And, you know, Guy, on this business with how they're using and exploiting gay people right now, the right wing, it's just appalling to me as well because they act like they're not even humans. They should be a little dog on a chain somewhere, you know, for, okay, master, may I get married? Okay, master, can I live like a normal person? You know, I mean, these are so-called Christians, and I am a Christian, and I'll tell you, Jesus drew a line in the sand, and he said, you with the first, without sin, cast your first stone. These people better wake up because they're only doing, if you're a Christian, you'll know what I'm saying. You are judging yourself because Jesus says if you live by those laws, you will be judged by those laws. Jesus freed everyone, and they are free as well. And Jesus has given forgiveness. If you're to say that they're not to get married, then no liar should be allowed to get married. No thief should get married. No murderer. No idolater. I mean, I could go on. There's 623, three of them in the Bible. You better live up to every one of them before you're judging your fellow man. Jesus' only commandment was love one another. And how many Christians nowadays are living up to Jesus' one commandment? Only one. They can't even uphold it.
Well, you've made a terrific point there, Diane. You really have. It's so true.
Jesus wouldn't even be allowed to go to their churches, like Al Sharpton said. He's got that right on the dollar.
Yeah. Boy, Al's been sharp all along, hasn't he?
He's very wise.
He's one of the better speakers and one of the most quick-minded guys I think I've ever seen.
Thank you, Guy.
Yeah.
I get confused at this time of day.
Hey, thanks for calling in,
bye-bye.
Diane. We do appreciate it. Yeah, she made a point, and you know, they are the God Party. They are the Christian right, and no one else in the country can be Christian and except them, because George, of course, has been chosen by God to lead our country right now. It's his time. Say, you know, I think they're getting caught up in some of their own mess, finally. Did you know that this week the federal grand jury, who's probing the leak of the Valerie Plame incident? You all remember Valerie Plame. She's the CIA agent, wife of Ambassador Wilson that they outed. Well, they've issued some subpoenas. And a week before the officer's name was published in a column in July, they found out now, they have found out that, well, let's say this the right way. I've got everything out of context here. They've now subpoenaed records of Air Force One telephone calls. And the reason they've done that is they know that they were shopping this story around in the week before they gave it to Novak. Novak had the cojones to go ahead and do it, which... I think it was terrible for him to do that, but that story was shopped around, and they were going to get Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame, one way or another, and they did. And so now they've got subpoenas out after some of these folks, and it's going to be mighty interesting to see where they lead. Mighty interesting. I think, to me, that's one of the most egregious incidents that this administration is pulled by far. I think it's just something that, it's unspeakable that they would do that. But then again, this administration has proven over and over and over again that they don't care a whole lot what we think, and they don't care what anybody thinks. They're going to do what they want to do and live with the consequences. And so far, the consequences have been few and far between. We've got John in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, Guy. Enjoying your show. It's the only way of daylight and the whole week's schedule on these stations that where people can really get on and speak their piece without being interrupted after about a minute when they disagree with you.
Well, we try.
You do a good job. You know, the last caller talked about the issue, and you had mentioned about the Christian God-fearing religion that the Republicans are. Let me tell you my objection. I have no problem with people believing. The problem is, and I think so many of the right-wing people will tell you that there is no such thing as separation of church and state. They deny what the courts have said about our U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're willing to fight to the death in many cases to uphold that belief.
Well, the issue is not that the people shouldn't believe or can't believe, but the issue is should government force them to believe? What is the role of government? And if you believe in the separation of church and state, you believe then it becomes an individual decision and part of our individual freedom and liberty. Other than that, they will tell you, well, we're a God-fearing country, and if you don't believe in it, get out and leave.
Yeah, oh, you're hearing that more and more nowadays. That's for sure. I haven't heard that, I haven't heard them say that a whole lot in the past few years, but here lately, that's been coming up a lot.
And I think that people should realize, and I think what the Bush people are pushing with so many of the issues, and we have the issue of whoever wins choosing probably the next members of the Supreme Court. And I think we have to look, do we want to protect our basic freedoms and liberties, or do we want, and hear the conservatives saying they want government out of our lives, yet, but it comes to religion, they want government to tell us, oh, you have to have prayer in the schools, you need a monument to the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, children should pray in the schools. They want government to tell everybody how to believe.
They want government out of our lives so long as it doesn't pertain to them, and as long as, sex or religion, except for all that, they want government out of our lives. They want to pick and choose.
Well, and the basic issue, when you come to this gay marriage, it comes to the question, do individuals have the rights? Do we respect each individual's rights and rights of people to make their own personal decision? Or is this something that religion decides?
Well, yeah. The issue of gay marriage, I think, is a red herring. I really do.
Well, of course, you and I talked about it last week. It's a diversion. And one of the things, Guy, I want to point out to you also, if I may, is that between my call last week where I pointed it out and this week, if you look at the gas pumps, the prices have gone up again.
Oh, yeah. And, the price, I had to do a lot of driving this week. I had to drive over to Daytona Beach, and it's even more expensive over there than it is here. There is seemingly, John, no effort on research by this administration, no effort whatsoever on alternative fuel research, on encouraging conservation. There seems to be no effort at all. All we hear is just, well, let's drill. And I heard somebody on the radio today say, well, I thought gas was going to be cheap once we, they claim that the Democrats said the only reason we went to war was for the oil, for the oil, for the oil. And he said, so I want to know where my cheap gas is now. Well, we didn't say that oil was going to be cheap. we didn't say it at all. We said we'd get it, but we didn't say it was going to be cheap. I mean, if you're Exxon or any of these companies, well, you don't have any reason to sell it cheap.
Well, I still feel that you have a connection with Bush and Bechtel, Cheney and Halliburton. They're making their money off it, and they really don't mind gouging the public. And what bothers me, by the way, is where's the public outcry on this? Why is everybody so yelling about gay marriage but not a word about these increasing gas pumps?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. This is outrageous, the price of gas right now. And you're right, John. I don't know what's going on.
People should be screaming. It's affected. It not only affects everybody who drives, and it's, we're living here, and I know that you broadcast to the rest of the country, but if you're not living in a big city like New York or San Francisco where you can rely on public transportation, use a car, it's going to affect you. And even if you live in those cities, the price of goods and services all goes up accordingly as the price of gas goes up, because all those people who deliver those goods and services must use gasoline.
Well, John, you're exactly right. Everything's going to go up as a result of this. And here's something else that I haven't heard an outcry about. Had a relative point this out to me who sells heavy equipment. Are you aware of what's going on with steel prices right now?
No, I'm not.
Steel prices have doubled since last June. Doubled. All of our steel production has gone overseas, and now look what's happening to us. You know, think about that. Think about the ramifications for our military, you know, for our economy, with the price of steel doubling. It's a pretty scary thought. A lot of companies who manufacture things with steel, in his case heavy equipment, are pricing it like they do lobster on a menu, market price. And it's going to have a profound effect on our economy very soon.
Well, as I talk about the outsourcing of jobs, of course, my question is, if, you know, we must maintain our peace with China, because if we ever had a problem, what are we going to do as an economy?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be their slaves. They're going to hold us hostage.
I mean, there's an economic war being won, and I don't think we're winning it. You know, I think you have some people at the top of these companies getting rich.
Oh, absolutely.
You look at the rich people getting richer. They go after Martha Stewart, who's probably lower on the level, and they're letting the Ken Lays and some of these other people get away with all of the malfeasance. And then you're letting the Bush and the Cheneys get away with the malfeasance. But in the meantime, we go after the little people.
Oh, sure. You know, I'm not saying they should have overlooked what happened to Martha Stewart, but there's...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If you had some stock and you knew that the stock was losing its value, would you try to sell it?
Yeah, I sure would.
I mean, isn't this a natural thing to do in a market?
I believe it is.
I mean, is she doing anything that's so different than any one of us or anybody listening out there would
No,
do?
It's just that she got a tip that wasn't quite according to Hoyle. Whoever Hoyle was, John. Hey, John, I've got to go. I got Dennis Kucinich on the phone. He wants to talk to us. John, thank you so much for your call.
Great having you here.
Thank you. We've got a gentleman who I admire very, very much on this program, and I don't know how many of you know this, but this program has endorsed Dennis Kucinich for president. We are hoping that Dennis Kucinich still has a say in what's going to happen within our Democratic Party between now and the convention and at the convention. And I'd like to welcome, ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's my honor and pleasure to welcome Dennis Kucinich to the program.
Donnie, well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm so grateful for your support and the support of so many of your listeners.
Well, we people who consider ourselves hardcore Yellow Dog Democrats, we want something to say when it comes to the convention now. We want the platform to represent all of us, and I think that you're a guy right now who can have a profound influence on that. What is your thinking about that?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, why should, for example, we trade a Republican version of the war in Iraq for a Democratic version of the war? Why should we trade a Republican support for NAFTA and the WTO for a Democratic support for the same? Why should we trade a Republican corporate-run healthcare system for a Democratic corporate-run healthcare system? I mean, we have a chance to take the country in a new direction and give people a real choice. Actually, that's the only way the Democrats are going to win in November, is to provide people with a real choice, because we're looking at a long campaign, and if people don't feel there's a real choice, they won't even vote.
Well, we're kind of wondering how things are going to go in our primary here in Florida this coming Tuesday, because you know, we're hoping it doesn't drop off a lot because of the Kerry lead and so forth. We hope that we have a tremendous showing here. And
well, this is exactly the reason why I stayed in this race. You know, the people of Florida were cheated in the 2000 election, and I have felt that they'd be cheated again if I dropped out, because there'd be no effective primary. So my candidacy gives people a choice on the issue of the war, which I oppose, which Senator Kerry supported, which I opposed and Senator Kerry supported, NAFTA and the WTO, which I say has to be repealed, and the senator supports those, and health care, which I think we have to get out of this for-profit system. The senator supports staying in a for-profit system. See, so my candidacy gives Floridians the opportunity to make a choice in the primary and to keep the debate going. You know, there are times when in a debate, in the legislature, someone moves to cut off the debate. And I think that when debate is cut off in a presidential campaign, it's bad for the party, it's bad for the country. And so Florida has the opportunity to let the whole country know that we really ought to be thinking about getting out of Iraq, bringing in UN peacekeepers, bringing our troops home. We really ought to be thinking about saving our manufacturing jobs and saving the high-tech jobs that are now being lost and saving our, in Florida's case, the citrus farmers from these unfair trade agreements. The only way to do that is to get out of NAFTA the WTO, and that we ought to be thinking about a system of health care for all, which is what I'm speaking about, which is not, you have to take that out of the for-profit system. So Florida has an election on Tuesday. I'm on the ballot. I want Floridians to know that a vote for my candidacy is a vote to take the Democratic Party in a new direction, in a direction that's consistent with social and economic justice.
You're campaigning where today?
On this day, I am actually in McAllen, Texas, going to Corpus Christi. And yesterday, of course, I spent the day in Florida, and I'll be going to Selma, Alabama tomorrow, and then back to Florida until the primary is complete. So I've spent a lot of time organizing. In Florida, we have a lot of supporters there, a very active grassroots campaign. And people, I think, will respond to the campaign. And, you know, there's only a few people left in the race now.
Can you tell us, just a personal moment, if you will, campaigning for the presidency has got to be a grueling, grueling thing to do. Has to be. I looked at your schedule the other day from morning till night and day after day after day. That's got to take something out of you.
Well, when I was a kid, I ate a lot of gruel. So you know, it was what, you know, we was dished up every day. So I don't really look at this as grueling. I have a sense, you know, I carry with me a sense of joy in seeing the country and meeting so many people and seeing how Americans connect with each other. I mean, that's what's been so incredible about this campaign. We meet people from all over the country who think that they may not have a lot in common, but you see so many Americans have so much in common in their desires for economic security and for peace. And so that's, you know, that's why I'm out there and on the campaign trail. But it, you know, is it, I'll tell you, Guy, 7 days a week, 19, 20 hours a day, you have to be in good shape to do that. And I get my energy from, you know, I have a good diet as well as its spiritual energy, and that keeps me moving. And when you really are doing what you believe in, you have the strength of many people.
Well, somehow you've done it, yeah. You know, I'd like to, right before you called, we were talking about an issue, and I know you know about this. I have a relative that's in the heavy equipment business, and we're talking about trade agreements and so forth and about our jobs going overseas and our industry going overseas. We were talking about the price of steel, how it's going absolutely crazy right now, sky high. What a threat this could be to America for our military production and all that. What do you know about these steel tariffs and all?
Well, there's a number of things that have happened. First of all, let's go back to 1997-98. There was a massive influx of steel from many different countries around the world into the United States. Steel was being sold in our markets way below the cost of production. As a result, 30 steel mills closed in the United States. They were stuck with huge inventories. They had to lay people off, and eventually they couldn't sell their steel and they closed. 50,000 steel workers lost their jobs. 200,000 steel workers lost their pension and retirement benefits. There was a steel company in Cleveland, which I rallied the community, and we were able to save it. It was just a miracle that we were able to do it, but we did it. But that gave me some insight into what was happening with steel, how international banks helped to fund the building of steel mills. how America, which has had technologically some of the best made steel as well as some of the best steel making equipment, they couldn't even use the equipment because of the better steel. And yet, in many these steel mills around the world, so that countries, the banks and the IMF, are both, and could have.
Dennis, I think we're starting. I think we're starting to lose you on your cell phone.
Excuse me?
I think you're starting. We're starting to lose you on your cell phone.
Well, if you can't hear me, what I'll do.
I hear you. I hear you now. I hear you now.
Okay. So what happened is that our whole steel industry fell apart because of unfair trade. We tried to put tariffs on, and the tariffs worked for a while. But then someone filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization and said, "Wait. These tariffs are trade barriers. We don't care. That's your problem. You cannot put any barriers up to trade because the WTO says you can't." So the WTO ruled last year that the United States either drops the tariffs that we put up to stop the total wipe out of our market, or the WTO is going to put $1 billion in penalties on our agricultural products. This is what happens. I mean, we have no ability to protect our own country. If you cannot make products, steel, if you don't have the ability to make automotive products, aerospace products, ships, you can't even protect the country.
Right.
And I will.
I think we're starting to lose you again on your phone.
Are you there?
Yes. I think we're starting to. Yes.
I'm going to call you back when we're.
Okay, fine. Fine, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We're losing him on the cell phone. I imagine the cell phone getting a real workout here lately. Always good to talk to Dennis Kucinich because you will not talk to anybody more well versed than Dennis Kucinich on the issues of trade and so forth. He's very, very well versed on all those and. I don't know how he does keep up with everything, but you know, and one thing I admire so much about Dennis Kucinich is he has somehow kept up with almost all the votes. He's been in Congress. He's been a tireless crusader out on the stump, and yet has been able to return for most of the votes in Congress. We've got one of our listeners from Democratic Underground on the line right now. Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up?
Good.
I really was looking forward to talking to Dennis Kucinich. He is a truly great man and a wonderful American. When you get him back on, I would really like him to comment on a concept called peak oil. Unlike any of the other candidates, I'll bet he knows exactly what I'm talking about and like how he plans to have America get ready for the big crunch coming and if he has any extra thoughts on the currency devaluation. I'd greatly appreciate it if you'd ask him about that.
Oh, we will. And, you know, speaking about this peak oil thing, I don't think people understand. I really don't. And when you think of the possible consequences of a lack of oil in this world, what the turmoil, terrible turmoil that'll cause. I mean, first of all, you're going to have nations with military might like we do. We're going to, you know, some countries that are able to are going to grab the oil. And there's going to be famine because people won't be able to grow crops like they did before because they need the oil for fertilizers and so forth. They need oil for their machinery to grow their crops. It's going to be a nightmare of epic proportions, and I just don't hear it talked about very much, and that really concerns me. They just don't talk about it.
No, not at all. And it's really, really scary. If it wasn't for websites like, you know, Democratic Underground, where you can get an intelligent discussions on the topic, and you know, with Democratic Underground, they don't have, like, tinfoil hat theories all the time. You know, it's just really good. And it really concerns me. It's like Americans are just totally, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Oh, no, we're always going to have oil. And you got to get it through to these people that the problem isn't that we're going to run out of oil. The problem is that we're going to run out of cheap oil.
Right.
The economy runs off of cheap oil, not just oil. And until, you know, Americans are willing to wake up to that fact, we are in big trouble. And we need a president with leadership who will be honest with the American people. And you know what? I got nothing but love for Kerry, all right? You know, ABB all the way. God bless Kerry, but, you know, until he has a real plan for how we're going to deal with the crisis, that's going to happen during his administration, by the way, you know.
That's exactly right. You're right. The peak oil date is not that far off.
No, no. There's a lot of people say it's there. So, anyway, good hello. This is Brain Shrub saying hello to all your listeners on DU.
Hey, thanks so much for calling.
You bet.
We're going to have Dennis Kucinich try and call us back. Hey, do most of you understand what the peak oil is? It's a time that's coming when the world will be using the most oil ever until we start heading down the slope the other way as far as the availability of it. If you think it's bad now, having gasoline at $1.75 a gallon for regular, what's it going to be like? What is it going to be like when oil gets to be $100 a barrel because it's starting to get short in supply and only the wealthy nations are able to get a hold of it? What kind of famine and hunger and so forth is that going to cause around the world? Have you thought about that? And yet our neoconservative friends don't seem to be concerned about it at all. If we talk about environmental problems and so forth, they laugh at us. We're a bunch of tree huggers and so forth. We want to take care of the good earth. It's insane. It's insane. Folks, this is not this far off. This is not this far off when we're going to run out of oil. I want you to remember that. Possibly in some of you that are listening in your lifetime, that this earth could run out of oil. And it's a catastrophic consequences if we don't have alternate fuels. Absolutely catastrophic. Think about that for a while. Hey, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show. I do want you to visit our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. And we'll give you our phone numbers when we come back. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 in Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Looser borders for frequent visitors. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush gave Mexican President Vicente Fox a pledge today to exempt some Mexican visitors from the usual fingerprinting and photographs at the U.S. border. Mr. Bush, eager to boost his standing with the fastest-growing voting bloc in America.
Make sure you tell them don't raise taxes.
Y no aumenten los impuestos tampoco.
Like some others want to do.
Como quieren hacer otras personas.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bush, during a joint appearance with Vicente Fox, the ranch in Crawford, Texas, reporter Jim Forsythe in San Antonio, where John Kerry went stumping for votes today.
Kerry campaigned in San Antonio and Houston, and in an interview with WOAI Radio said mainstream American common sense will help him in states that Mr. Bush carried in 2000. Kerry said Americans are getting tired of the president's claims that prosperity is right around the corner.
He promised 4 million jobs overall. We've lost 3 million. That's a net $7 million job swing.
Kerry said he would repeal President Bush's tax cuts and use the money to provide health insurance, which he said would amount to a tax cut for the middle class. Jim Forsythe, ABC News, San Antonio.
12 Russian researchers were plucked from an Arctic ice floe today by two Russian helicopter crews. ABC's Kate Bowie at the Foreign Desk.
The researchers ran into trouble on Wednesday when the ice floe where they'd set up camp broke apart and buildings and equipment disappeared underwater. The scientists had been there for almost a year studying climate change in the Arctic.
How's the Martha Stewart guilty verdict playing out across America? Mixed reactions in most places, including St. Louis, at the Home and Garden Show.
I think that most people who are her fans, it's not like a violent crime where they would, like, be repulsed by it, I think. So I don't think that that will affect her.
CBS's New York affiliate will pull the plug on Stewart's lifestyle show, Martha Stewart Living, on Monday. Other CBS stations may follow suit. This is ABC News.
Randy, tell these Vermont campers a scary story.
They called it heartburn. The frequent kind. The kind only a monster could scare away. Well, a monster, or a new pill called Prilosec OTC. One pill a day for 24 hours of zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC, and it starts working the very first day. But without this little pill, things could get creepy.
Randy, hold me!
Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
Get serious.
Over 60 totally commercial-free music channels on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Get Sirius.
Over 40 sports, news, and entertainment choices, including the NHL. And coming this fall, the NFL. Every game, every week, everywhere.
Get Sirius.
Free for 3 months when you get hooked up today at Best Buy, Circuit City, and Crutchfield.com.
Sirius Satellite Radio.
Offer based on prepaid one-year subscription available for a limited time at participating retailers. Subscription and hardware sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. See retailer or Sirius.com for details.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Which tree-clad America's Revolutionary War sailing ship holds Ironsides and can live for more than 100 years? Go to the National Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, for whatever you need to know about trees. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are ripe for planting where you live. That website again is arborday.org.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, or 04. Locally, 479-5540. Only a couple of hours away from me flying down the Interstate 75 to Naples, Florida for that great Jefferson Jackson banquet. George McGovern's going to be there. One of the great gentlemen. And I mean one of the great ethical, fine gentlemen of political life here in the United States. Looking forward to it very, very, very much. We've got Dee in Indiana. Dee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I've called you before, but I was calling today because, you know, it just stuns me that the rush that we're in to declare the whole primary season over. I'm floored.
Well, but you got to face reality. Kerry's got the bull by the horns right now.
Well, he does, but he's not finished yet. He's not quite there. He may be by Tuesday, but Tuesday's not here yet. And we've got the DNC, we've got major media, we've got pretty much everyone saying that it's all over, except it's not all over.
Well,
you know, we've got what 40% or 20 to 40% of the electorate that has not had their say yet.
You're right. You're right. It's not over, but it's in Vegas. You get some pretty good odds that it is. I mean, if we're going to be really practical about it, it's looking like it's over. But that's not to say we couldn't have something unusual happen. You never know.
Right, and not only that, but we've got important things to be done. Besides nominating a candidate,
that's right, and
a platform to set.
I think that's the great importance left ahead of us right now is what kind of a platform we're going to build for our party to stand on for the next few years, and I really think that Dennis is going to do some real good when it comes to that. I really do. I think the people that back Dennis know he's got influence, and I think he's going to have a say in the matter. I really do.
I do, too. I actually am one of the ones who backed Dennis. I'm his Indiana State coordinator.
Great.
And, you know, the thing is, like I said, we're not finished setting the platform, and we've got a long way to go yet as far as that's done. Dennis may or may not be the nominee, but he's got so much to say.
Oh, he does.
Rush to coronate a nominee is effectively shutting down all discussion of the issues that matter to the people.
Well, you and I both know, but D, you and I both know there's a lot going on behind the scenes right now. There's going to be a lot of debate and a lot of deal making behind the scenes as far as building our platform this year. And I think Dennis is going to have a serious say in the matter. I really do.
I hope so. I mean, just like Dennis, I'm a lifelong Democrat. So just the fact that they are the party itself is shutting down debate concerns me.
Well, do remember one thing. The party itself is not the DNC, it's not the DLC, it's not any organization. It's the grassroots Democrats who are out there, and it's what we say. Inevitably, that it comes down to it's what we say, and we need to always remind people of that. Dee, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Do appreciate it very much. We got Mike in Naples. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, guy. Love the show.
Thank you.
I hope Dennis Kucinich gets back on, because what a great man. When he gets back on, would you do me a favor? I got a question for him. And you're not going to much like the question up front, but it's a serious question, and it's one I've given a lot of thought to. And I would like to know, without you rejecting it up front and hanging up on me, which you're perfectly capable and have proven so many times.
One of those deals here? You're gonna throw another zinger here? I'm capable of and have done so many times.
Well, yeah,
usually, when someone's a smartass on the phone, it's goodbye, goodbye, Mike. Hey, yeah, you want to know what kind of a guy Dennis Kucinich is? Listen carefully to this. I want you to listen very carefully to this. If you want to know what kind of a guy Dennis Kucinich is.
Our Congress gave the President the ability to respond to the tragedy of September the 11th. We did not authorize the invasion of Iran. We did not authorize the invasion of North Korea. We did not authorize bombing civilians in Afghanistan. We did not authorize permanent detainees in Guantanamo Bay. We did not authorize the withdrawal from the Geneva Convention. We did not authorize military tribunals suspending due process and habeas corpus. We did not authorize assassination squads. We did not authorize the resurrection of COINTELPRO. We did not authorize the repeal of the Bill of Rights. We did not authorize the revocation of the Constitution. We did not authorize national identity cards. We did not authorize the Eye of Big Brother to peer from cameras throughout our cities. We did not authorize an eye for an eye, nor did we ask the blood of innocent people who perished on September 11th be avenged with the blood of innocent villagers in Afghanistan. We did not authorize this administration to wage war anytime, anywhere, anyhow it pleases. We did not authorize war without end. We did not authorize a permanent war economy. We did not authorize.
You've been listening to the Voices for Peace from the Pacifica Radio Archives.
That's a piece we found out there. I'm telling you, Dennis Kucinich is a hell of a man. I don't care who thinks what anybody thinks. Dennis Kucinich is one of the finest politicians that ever lived in Washington, D.C., and represents his state well. I know a lot about Dennis Kucinich. I'm a former Ohioan, and the man has an aura about him, and regardless of what you think about I just want you to know Dennis Kucinich is a hell of a man, whether you know it or not, and I have great, great respect for Dennis Kucinich. We've got Jalinda in California. Jalinda, welcome to the program.
Hello, guys.
So good to hear from you.
Talk to you quite often. I'm not going to cough today. I don't have a cold. just a few little things, like scatterbrain. I've got all kinds of things rattling around in there. I don't know who watched C-SPAN this morning on Washington Journal, but they had a lady from this wonderful magazine called Oil Daily. I'm not making that up.
Oil Daily.
Oil Daily.
I got to get a subscription to that one.
I know it.
darn, mine's about to run out. I'll have to renew it. Karen Matusik was this woman's name, and one of the typical smiling faces, you know, to put a nice happy face on, you know, the gas prices. She actually made the statement, and of course no one got through to correct her about how Europeans would just love to see $3 gasoline. She just didn't see what the problem was. And, of course, I tried to call that. I couldn't get through, but someone needed to remind this woman that Europeans drive small cars. They have public transportation. They don't have to spend a huge portion of their incomes on gasoline because a lot of their needs are taken care of. They have health care, government-sponsored. They have government pensions. They have free college. So paying more for gasoline on the few occasions they do drive is not a hardship to them like it is for people like my husband who drives 60 miles a day to get to work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, this is going to cause a shakeup.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly. It's basically going to take about another $150 a month out of our pocket, which, you know, we're kind of tight as it is. Another thing is that... I also heard an interesting phrase on CNN this week. I don't know if I'm the only one that caught it. Overemployment. That's what we had in the 90s.
Overemployment?
So, overemployment, yes. So what
I wonder who coined that phrase.
I don't know, but that's going to be the new catchphrase, that we're not really having unemployment problems. We just had overemployment, and this is just another correction. So if you've lost your job recently, don't worry about it because you were overemployed before. Now it's just right. And
wow.
Also, for people that don't know who Duke Majan was, he was a failed governor of California. He's now going to be in charge of running the prison situation here in California. So now we have two washed-up, failed, kicked-out governors running things. Wilson's pulling Arnold's strings and getting us into financial difficulties like we never had before. And now we have Duke Majan going to solve our prison crisis. So things are just hunky-dory out here. Can't afford to go anywhere.
Well, it's a tough situation with this gasoline right now. And, you know, an earlier caller today said he just couldn't understand why we've not heard a huge outcry about it. And I think he's right. I haven't. I've heard a complaint here and there, but this is serious.
It's serious, but you know what? I think that there is a natural... or a national sense of futility that has kind of settled in.
They've trained us, haven't they?
Exactly. You know, what are you going to do? If ARCO is 225 and Exxon right across the street is 225 and down the street Chevron is 225, where are you going to go?
You're right.
You know,
you're right. They've got us well trained.
You call your boss and say, gee, I'm not going to be able to make it to work this week because I can't afford to buy gas.
I need a raise to buy the gas.
Yeah, there's 10 people standing in line with resumes in their hand wanting to... you know, wanting to take that job. So, and that's all part of the plan, to make everyone so scared that they don't dare say anything because, you know, they could lose their job. There's
yeah.
somebody else out there who wants it.
A lot of that right now.
It's scary, and basically most of our problems that we have boil down to two things. We have lost control of our media. They will spin it so that it puts the best face on it for the government that's in power. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the Republicans. It's just that whoever controls the media, which happens to be them right now, they get their say. I mean, you just look at your show as one of the few, if not, you know, the only one that really makes any difference. Most of them are pretty namby-bamby. But there's, you know, the right wing is calling the shots, and they're going to do it. They're going after colleges now. It's just devastating, and the voting thing, the black box.
Well, I hope
a little vapor voting. I broke a voting machine the other day.
You did?
Yes. I was like the third person there, and I walked in, and I was one of those naughty Democrats who switched to Republican so I could vote for McCain.
Ah.
And when I got around to switching my registration back, I figured I might have a problem, so I carried the paper with me that proved I had done it. And sure enough, they still had me listed, and I put the card in, and up pops George Bush's name. And I said, whoa, this isn't going to work. I ain't using this one. So she said, well, we have you down. I said, well, I don't care what you have me down as. Here's my paper. You know,
yeah.
Look at this. So they gave me a new card. Well, of course, the card was stuck in the machine. They couldn't get it out. The old guy was just having a hissy fit. He's on the cell phone talking, and he's scrambling and unplugging and doing all kinds of machinations. And they had to close it because I broke it. You know, the card was still stuck in there. So I don't know how many votes got racked up, even though I never touched it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, those are the two biggest problems we got, the media and the black box. And, you know, it's 30 years of Reagan's little scheme to do away with the fairness doctrine is coming back to bite us.
It is. And it's been especially voracious lately. The FCC is doing a number on people.
And for all you people out there listening, go to Guy's website and pass him a few bucks because we need all the help we can get.
Jalinda, thanks so much for your
Talk
call.
See you next time.
Do appreciate it very, very much. We've got, well, we got a friend of mine up right now up in Bradenton, Florida, right up the road here, about an hour. We got Henry. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. I just wanted to call and compliment you on having the courage to get out here in front of Dennis Kucinich on the before the primary on Tuesday. And before I go any farther, I got to tell you, I was able to pick up your signal in my car in Bradenton. There was some bleeding from another station over it. But before I got home and started listening on the radio, I could pick you up all the way up here.
Well, very good. Yeah. Very good. That's a ways up the road.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
As us country folks would say, it's a fur piece.
Yeah, but, you know, I sort of feel that the people of, or the Democrats of Florida, actually have a great gift this Tuesday because they've been freed of having to play the who is the electable candidate game.
Exactly.
You know, we've been drummed into, we got to have the electable one that can beat Bush. Well, fine, we can add the numbers up, and we can tell which way it's going to go down. But, you know, what we have now is the opportunity to vote what's in our heart. And, when you look at the exit polls on those previous primaries, the number one consideration was who was electable. But then when they look at them on the issues, 75% of the Democrats were against the war. You know, they're against the World Trade Organization. They don't like the Patriot Act. So the people of Florida have this great opportunity on Tuesday to vote for a candidate who voted against the Patriot Act, voted against the war, is against these secret trade organizations and their rules, and send our party a message. All the grassroots that came out in the past year and a half in opposition to the war and these other things are now supposed to get back in their box. And we got to send the party a message. We're not going to stay in the box. We're going to get Kerry elected or whoever the nominee turns out to be, and then don't neglect the base anymore. Stick to your values, and I want to compliment you for standing up for that.
Well, I know, and let me tell our listeners here, Henry, you're the producer, aren't you? Of the Bud Beck Show,
right?
Up in Bradenton and Sarasota area, and up in there, and his show is I tell you, after talking to Bud, we're very like-minded about many, many issues. It's kind of eerie, actually. He's got a great show up there. He does, we both broadcast from the left side of the aisle, and it's good to have some company here in South Florida. They're in South Florida. We're a little bit north of us for those of you listening around the country, about an hour north, and we're down here kind of toward the bottom of Florida, but. We're well represented up there by the Bud Beck Show, I can tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you, behind the scenes, between you and he this week, I don't know if you got any calls from the DNC, but he's had a couple calls from the DNC. And, you know, they don't like getting the water stirred up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you saw the Florida Democratic Party managed to circulate every Kerry stop for Monday, but here Kucinich is coming up to our side of the Tampa Bay area, and not a word is said.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to rock the boat right now. And, you know, I've always been a boat rocker. I'm not intimidated by that. And if I've got something to say, I'm going to say it. Yeah, there's going to be some people upset with us over that. But damn it, Dennis has got some things to say, and the people that back Dennis has got to have some things to say about the platform, and they need to be said. How many people have you met that said, yeah, I really like Dennis Kucinich, but he's got a lot of great ideas, but I don't think he's electable. Well, yeah, he's got a lot of great ideas. He's got a lot of Democratic good ideas, and they need to be put in the platform.
And people need to remember 15% or more gets that candidate delegates at the convention. So, you know, it isn't going to take much just to get the voices heard. And we got 8 months to all get in the boat and row together.
Yep.
But for this week, we're standing up and making that boat rock a little bit. And I just want to thank you for giving me a chance to say all this.
Well, thank you, Henry, and give Bud my regards.
I will.
Bye. Thanks very much. We have Jeff in Pennsylvania. Jeff, thank you for calling the program.
Good afternoon. afternoon, Guy. Good to speak to you.
Great to hear from you.
I've been listening for a while. This is my first time calling, but I've sent a few bucks your way, and let me start off by saying that my money and my mouth are behind Dennis. But I've been trying to get answers to a question that I think is very important and nobody seems to want to raise. It's pretty well proven from this administration that the way the administration is going to operate depends a lot on who's appointed to cabinet positions.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen a situation where this administration doesn't have an open discussion. And how can you make it a good decision without an open discussion? I'd like to see the candidates get the names out there for their potential appointees.
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. I mean, look at the horror we've endured from this cabinet that we were told that the adults were coming back to Washington. Oh, my God. Look what we've been subjected to here. Ooh.
Yeah, and what's terrible is we're 3 years into the administration, and we see information coming out. I read a good article on Counterpunch about serving two flags that really went through all these administration people and their neocon ideas and their alliance and allegiance with Israel as opposed to the United States. And Laura Flanders' book, Bush Women, describing how all of these wonderful women that they brought into the cabinet have been serving the industries for so long, and now they're in positions where they can make sure they still serve the industries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, right from the get-go, when Bush announced his cabinet, I was frightened. I was actually frightened. First, the name Ashcroft came up, and I thought, he wouldn't dare. And, you know, we got Elaine Chao with that little faux pas of her this week, claiming that Bush didn't sign that labor thing, when in fact he did. And then we had Page last week with his horrible comment that the NEA was a terrorist organization. These people have just totally lost it.
Yeah, well, I have to admit to being a neophyte, and this administration is what got me politically involved.
There's a lot more like you out there, Jeff.
Yeah, I just hope it's enough.
Yeah, I do too. Jeff, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you too.
I appreciate it very much. You know, this administration, you have to wonder what they've been drinking lately. Talking about jobs, you know. Where is that? I'm trying to find this little article I had. Where is it? It's around here somewhere. I'll find it. Dick Cheney made an astonishing statement this week. No matter how many notes you have, you never have enough here. I guess I can't find it right now. But, you know, this administration is just, it's amazing what they'll stoop to. It is absolutely amazing what they'll stoop to. You know, this war has put a lot of money in the Bush family pockets. Have you considered that? It's put a lot of money in the Bush family pockets. And we're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back from break. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
His name was York. And when Lewis and Clark set out in 1804, he was a slave, William Clark's slave. But when he left so-called civilization, York became something altogether different. He became free. He became an elite hunter and explorer. He was revered by the Indians, and he was given the right to vote before most African Americans were given the right to speak. But York's bravest act came at trail's end when he demanded his freedom. Because as Lewis and Clark returned to accolades, York returned to slavery. Some say York was eventually freed. Others say he went west because what he found on the trail was a thing no man could ever give him. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Okay, class, today we're going to read out loud. Who wants to go first?
Please don't call on me. Please don't call on me.
If your child struggles in school, listen to the little voice inside your head. Get help now. A lot of kids who struggle are smart. They just learn differently. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. Focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Got a good friend out there in cyberspace. Some of you will know who he is. Some of you will not. First of all, call us on the program right here at 888-602-7500, 7501-0203 or 04. Or locally, you're welcome to call us at 479-5540. Love to hear from you. Still got about a half hour left in the program. Many of you who are listening on the Internet know who a great guy is by the name of Bart Kopp. Got a fantastic website, www.bartkopp.com. Without question, one of the very finest writers on the Internet, without a doubt. You can go to his website, have fun and facts. This guy is a laugh riot, and he's dead serious about it, too. And he just... Well, he makes so much sense, and he does it with comedy. He's a terrific writer, and I want you to listen to this right now. We're gonna play this bit here that Bart sent me, and I guess we'll go ahead with it.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, stick your head out, and yell. I'm
tired
of hell, and I'm not
going to
take this anymore.
Listen now, you mother.
Politics, tequila, and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Bart Kopp Radio.
U.S. officials originally worried Iraq would deplete its foreign currency reserves if Iraqis weren't confident in the dinar. I don't get it. Here we go. Here's the big one. This is why I circled this. Building materials. You're not going to believe this. One of us is crazy. Building materials. Demand for cement, asphalt, and other construction material is boosting the economy, Taylor said. Well, yeah, Bush blew up the whole country. If you blow up 60,000 buildings, I have a feeling you're going to need cement, asphalt, and other construction material in large quantities. Every time we dropped one of those MOAB, mother of all bombs, those, 25,000-pound bombs that took out entire ghettos in one blast? Yeah, that's 10,000 people now that need housing. They need cement and asphalt. They need all kinds of stuff because Bush blew it up. Can you believe that? The bigger bombs... Wait, the more sorties our Air Force ran, the more neighborhoods they blew up, the more factories they blew up, the more everything they blew up, the bridges, the railroad tracks, I mean, everything in the world that they blew up again and again and again, over and over, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of buildings and structures and all. And now they're saying they got a booming economy because there's a demand for construction materials. I don't understand it. Why doesn't somebody say something? Why is Tequila Boy in Oklahoma the one that's seeing this and saying, hey, 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 something's not right here, something's not right? My God. The more he blows up, the better the economy is because they need more buildings built. I may have to do another shot for this.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.
Yeah, and that's Bart Kopp Radio. You know, he does. He tapes a show once a week and plays it on his website. Go to that website. You'll be glad you did. Like I said, you'll have some fun and lots of facts available, too. www.bartkopp.com. You'll love that site. That is if you lean left. If you don't, you're going to hate Bart a whole lot. We've got Jim in Fort Myers. Jim, welcome to the program.
Ask your opinion on something.
or like to hear your opinion, actually. The other night, I really don't recall what radio station I heard on. It was on a talk show. Well, this guy had made a prediction that, it, as stupid as it sounds, that the movie The Passion of the Christ was going to get George Bush reelected, that it was going to stir the Christian right to bring out their morals, and they were going to say, oh, yeah, okay, there's all this gay stuff going on now, and that was going to put him over the top.
Oh, boy.
you know, at first I listened to it, and I thought, oh, this is the stupidest thing I ever heard. But then I got to thinking about it. It's not really that stupid if you think about it. I mean, it's kind of dumb, but it will stir, I'm sure, a lot of the conservative Christians to vote that way.
Yeah, you see, because they own Christianity.
Right.
No one can be a Christian unless they're from the far right. I've got a quote here someplace from Ann the Man Coulter, one of my favorite hardcore right-wing people that you see on TV. You know all, you know who I'm talking about, Ann the Man Coulter. She writes about the Passion of Christ. She says, the unavoidable conclusion is that liberals haven't the vaguest idea of what Christianity is. Can you imagine saying that? She says, the Times may have loopy ideas about a lot of things, but at least when they write about gay bathhouses and abortion clinics, you get the sense they know what they're talking about. But Christianity just doesn't ring a bell. The religion that has transformed Western civilization for two millennia is a blank slate for liberals. What a thing to say. And they feel that way. They really do. And I've got news for them. They're no better Christians than anybody of a different political genre whatsoever. It's all a big joke. And if they want to think that about themselves, that they own morality and ethics and everything else, well, go ahead and think it. But it's a ridiculous stance to have.
Yeah. Well, if I can, I'll just make one quick more comment about local politics real quick.
Sure.
Again, I talked to you a couple weeks ago. I am a Republican. I'm kind of a straddling the fence Republican right now. But locally, I hope the people out there remember, and I hope this guy's listening because there's no love lost between us. Barry Fudge, remember that name. This man is a pompous, arrogant jackass, and his only qualifications is a Baptist minister, and he wants to take it and run for Congress. Man, I tell you, y'all don't even want him to be the dog catcher, so.
Well, why don't you say what you mean, Jim? Hey, thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Good listening. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
I guess he doesn't like that guy very much.
No. I could, like I said, I'd vote for my neighbor's cat before I vote for him.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. I guess he got his opinion right out there, what he thinks. There's no messing around with that one. You know, I got to thank Dick Cheney this week. Dick Cheney, or Snarl, as I like to call him. Boy, is there a more angry-looking person than Dick Cheney. Just when you thought, Molly Ivins, I want to quote Molly Ivins. Just when you thought no one could top Rod Paige calling the Teachers Union a terrorist organization, along comes Vice President Cheney with this little gem, and I quote Cheney, if Democratic policies had been pursued over the last 2 to 3 years, the kind of tax increases both Kerry and Edwards are talking about, we would not have had the kind of job growth that we've had. Has he been drinking? We would not have had the kind of job growth we've had. I think that's a compliment for Kerry. My God, I hope we wouldn't have had the kind of job growth that these clowns are claiming. Have you seen they downgraded January and December's forecast? We got even less jobs than they said. Now, folks, I don't want to get on this bandwagon and say that the President of the United States is responsible for creating jobs, because that, in essence, is not true. The President and his administration can help create a climate where job growth helps, but a President can't go out and snap his fingers and build jobs. But if you think that it's any coincidence, you know, we Democrats always claim that we are the people who create jobs in this country over the years. Call this a coincidence if you want to, but since Herbert Hoover's administration, since they've kept the numbers on this, Democrat administrations have jobs have increased double over what Republican administrations have ever since Herbert Hoover. Think about that. That's no coincidence. That means the climate during a Democratic administration is right for job growth in this country, and the citizens of this country know it because we have had double the job growth during Democratic administration over Republican administrations since Herbert Hoover. And Dick Cheney says if Democratic policies had been pursued over the last 2 to 3 years, the kind of tax increases Kerry and Edwards are talking about, we would not have had the kind of job growth that we had. Boy, that's a good one, Dick. That is a good one. We sure hope we wouldn't have had the kind of job growth you've had, because it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. And speaking of a disgrace, you know, we always talk about follow the money on this program. When you get around to the Bush family, follow the money. And I'd like to go into it just a little bit here. George W. Bush was so insistent and almost fanatical about getting into a war with Saddam Hussein and ignored the real intelligence coming from the CIA, telling us that Saddam was such a threat and so forth. Did you know that his family is making a lot of money off this war? Did you know that? There's a guy by the name of William Bush. He's a director of Engineered Support Systems, Incorporated. It's the ESSI. It's a supplier of high-tech military goods to the highest bidder. Just last year, they sold $13 million worth of advanced radar gear to upgrade. Listen to this, for all you folks that like to make those China claims about Clinton. Here's the Bush family, William Bush, their brother of Daddy Bush. Advanced radar gear to upgrade Communist China's fleet of fighter jets. You know, the kind that forced down the U.S. spy planes with such ease. This is just par for the family, however. William's brother, Prescott Bush Jr., is head of the America-China Chamber of Commerce, while brother Neil is in bed with the son of former communist chieftain Jiang Zemin. They've helped all along arm a dictatorial regime that tyrannizes its own people, invades its neighbors, and actually does possess large stockpiles of WMDs. But here we got the Bush family in that up to their ears. Mostly Uncle Bill, as they would call him. They do a big box office with nephew Georgie's Pentagon. The Bush family is making money hand over fist off of these war. How does that make you feel? Huh? How does that make you feel? That the Bush family is directly profiting off of this war. Makes me feel pretty bad. I would think it would make them feel pretty cheap, but of course it doesn't. And of course we talked earlier with Tony Welsh about Bush running on his record. You know, they're claiming that these ads they came out with showcase his leadership. What leadership? What leadership are you talking about? We've got an economy that's absolutely in the toilet, millions of Americans out of work, several hundred dead in a war that was fought on a lie. We've got billions of dollars wasted in a war against Iraq. While Osama goes running free, they diverted all the attention hunting him down at the time to go into Iraq, the real terrorist. We've got an attorney general who tramples on the privacy and rights of Americans and use the Constitution he uses it as a shield, as a weapon against fellow Americans. But run on their leadership? Can you tell me what we've gained under his leadership? How many of you are better off now than you were when this man started his presidency? This tax cut that you're talking about, that we hear so much about, how many of you common folks really benefited? I've got a chart around here. I think next week we're going to talk about it quite a lot, about this tax cut and how much it benefited Joe Average American. Didn't amount to a hill of beans. Not a hill of beans. We've got John in Lehigh. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Hey, great, man. Let me ask a question. What's the difference between a liberal Democrat and, say, a communist?
I would like to know where you're going with this.
Well, I'm just asking you for sure what you feel the difference is between a communist and liberal Democrat. I'm not going anywhere with it.
One of them's a loyal American, and the other one's a communist. I mean, what's the point?
Well, I've been a member of the Communist Party since 1964. I fought in Vietnam for 3 years on 3 tours. I consider myself a goddamn American, mister. I don't know what the hell.
Well, well, well. Got the old Jim Beam bottle out again there, huh, John? That was interesting. What was that? What's the difference between a communist and a Democrat? I don't know. Do they grow much marijuana over there in Lehigh, out there in those areas out there? I think a guy had a little bit of that this afternoon. But we get calls like that, and, you know, it gets tiresome. How much we would love to have an honest debate with people over the issues, the actual issues. We would like to have an honest debate with people over the, over the Bush administration and where they think they've really done a great job, and tell us what exactly it is that this man is running on with his record. I don't see any record here. I think this has been the most pathetic presidency in my lifetime, most certainly. Did you know that they're pulling the wool over our eyes again? They love to do this, the Bushes do. They submitted a budget with a $543 billion deficit in it, and it didn't even include the cost of the war for this coming year. Yet they claimed they didn't know how much it was going to cost, and yet they asked for a specific $87 billion more. But they always claim it doesn't know how much it costs, but they always come up with specific amounts when they need more money for it. You know, how disingenuous can you be? You've got a $543 billion deficit, 44% of which, by the way, was caused by this tax cut that they're so maniacal about. 44% of it. The biggest change in that deficit was caused by this tax cut. Do you hear anybody talking about that? No. Alan Greenspan doesn't even talk about it. But, you know, he hides the cost of this war in the budget. Doesn't want to admit to it. I wouldn't want to admit to it either. I wouldn't want to admit to it at all. But they always manage to, well, they lie constantly. There you go. We've had a war being fought. We were lied to about that. When does this man tell the truth? When does he tell the truth? I guess he told us he was going to go into Iraq, and he did. He was telling the truth there. But it's very distressing to have your president of the United States lie to you time after time after time, and then come out and say, oh, what a good job I've done. But he's not running on his record. The Social Security issue that came up in the past couple of weeks with Alan Greenspan. We've had these people promise not to touch the surplus of the Social Security. It has been touched, and now we're told that we're going to have benefits cut back from Social Security from Alan Greenspan. 20 years ago, Alan Greenspan talked everybody into raising the rates that we pay on Social Security, and because we would need it, and it wouldn't affect the deficit, Mr. Greenspan said. And yet this guru that everybody trusts so much, now it is affecting the deficit tremendously. And it just nobody wants to talk about it. All the real issues that come up, these guys don't want to talk about. I guess I wouldn't talk about it either, but if I had totally failed on the economy, if I totally failed on jobs, if I totally failed on the Social Security issue, if I had us mired into a war that we don't need be able to find a way to get out of, we have the Iraqis over there now trying to come up with a constitution we said was a done deal. It isn't. We've still got a mess in Afghanistan. Where's the record? I want to know, where is the record? There's nothing to run on, and I would submit to you, after being in the office for 3 years, if you don't have any more good things to talk about than this fellow does, he most certainly does not deserve a second term. We got Pat in Boynton Beach. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hi, Guy. I wanted to comment on the comment you made a few minutes ago about wishing there was more debate between the Democrats and the Republicans.
Yes.
I don't think there is any, because George Bush runs his government like a third world tyrant. The thing that appalls me the most about this man is the secrecy, the authoritarianism, just the general thuggishness of the whole administration. There is no debate when the basic attitude of your administration is you're with us or you're not patriotic.
Oh, exactly right. Look at the intimidation they used on people. When this war started, you're anti-American if you're with us or against us. You're so right. And a lot of people have fallen for that. They really have. They have been intimidated.
It's really scary, and I just wish that people from our side would take more control of our sources of media information.
Well,
and just get the word out.
You know, it's so difficult. You know what we're up against in on the left here as far as talk radio. Hundreds and hundreds of right-wingers on the radio all across the country, and just a handful of us on the left. It's tough. It's really tough. When you got a company like Clear Channel controlling the airwaves in many, many places, and they're going to control what is said on there, and if they don't like it, why, you're gone. And that's what we're facing. We got to get the fairness doctrine back again, and we got to get some balance to this, or it's going to continue to spiral down the way it has.
Well, right, because if there were any intelligent, informed debate, they would not have a leg to stand on, and they would very quickly be exposed for the complete tyrants that they are. But without debate, they just there's no hope.
Well, look at what they've gotten away with. You know, one thing after another swept under the rug. You know, take this Halliburton thing, for one. You know, Cheney's in that up to his ears. Everybody knows that. He's still drawing money from Halliburton. He still owns a bunch of stock of Halliburton. They make, $61 million, I believe, in oil overcharges. And, you know, what happens to him? Nothing. They gave $6.3 million in kickbacks. They got caught. What happened to them? Nothing. It's a shame what goes on, and yet it's pretty much out in the open. It really is. How about this Halliburton cheating on the meals? They built the Pentagon out of $27.5 million in overcharges on meals. What happened to them? Nothing.
There's no end to those kind of stories, and the thing that gets me is they claim to be the party of God, and these are just the most ungodly acts that they engage in over and over again.
Well, and you know, Pat, the part I just don't get. I just don't get. There's a lot of middle income or even lesser income Republicans that vote for these people. And, you know, as I've always said, that's like buying the rope so the hangman can hang you. That's just what they've been doing. They've been helping them destroy America. And I wish for the life of me I could understand why any average American would vote for an administration like this. I just don't get it.
I don't know if that many people can think anymore, and I don't want to take too much of your time, but several years ago I came across, absolutely by accident, a book called Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. It was a book by Jerry Mander, and he talks about how destructive television is as an influence in society, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the point of the entire book, it was almost a manual for how to influence society at large. It was an absolute, almost step-by-step, and there are places in the book where you can hear Karl Rove speaking, but how they influence people's minds. It's just it was a real eye-opener for me. And
well, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars with their think tanks, indoctrinating people with their propaganda. I got to hand it to them, Pat. They've done a great job. They really have. Where they've got two dozen think tanks, highly funded think tanks, we've got about two. They've done a great job getting a hold of the media, getting control of the media the way they have. The Democrats were asleep at the switch, and it took them time to do it. It took the Republicans time to do it, but they did it.
Well, and I wanted to thank you for playing Bart Kopp's clip. I've listened to him and read him for years. I love him, and I consider him one of the best political thinkers that I know.
Oh, absolutely. The guy's
can really think.
And he's great at the way he phrases things with great comedy sometimes as well.
Yes.
He's a funny guy.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks very much. Once again, I do want to recommend that you go see that website, Bart Kopp, www.bartcop.com. You'll love that site. You really will. It's funny. You still got time to call us, 888-602-7500. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200 in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
I'm a singer and a voice coach. At 28, just as my star was rising, I got the shock of my life. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of cancer. I pictured my two-year-old growing up, my husband Greg growing old, without me. Impossible. I decided to fight and win. I didn't know how hard it would be, how little things like doing laundry or singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to my daughter would become major efforts. My friends and family helped and supported me, and so did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks to the life-saving research they help fund, survival rates are up for multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and there is hope. After 2 years of treatment, including months of chemo, I'm cancer-free. In its own way, my cancer was a blessing. There's a new song in my heart. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Bren Jones, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
A, B, C, G, D, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, I think these guys aren't liars that's running this administration right now. Let me give you a great example. Listen to this.
The evidence indicates that Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear weapons program. Saddam Hussein has held numerous meetings with Iraqi nuclear scientists, a group he calls his nuclear mujahideen, his nuclear holy warriors, facing clear evidence of peril. We cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun. It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud. It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
I don't know anybody that I can think of who has contended that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons.
I don't know anybody that I can think of who has contended that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons.
The evidence indicates that Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear weapons program.
I don't know anybody in any government or any intelligence agency who suggested that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons. That's fact number one.
When you hear statements like that from the Secretary of Defense and the President of the United States back to back, it just blows your mind. It blows your mind that they've run this war on lies, and more lies. You know, they said Bush never contended that this was imminent or they had nuclear. How much more clear can it be? How much of a fool do you have to be to not understand that that was a Class A lie right there? How stupid do you have to be to get fooled by that? Folks, you've been listening to too much Fox News if you believe that. You've been listening too much to the Washington Times, reading the Washington Times newspaper too much. You've been listening too much right-wing propaganda, listening to Limbaugh too much, and to Hannity too much, and to Gordon Liddy too much, and Oliver North too much, and this Neil Bortz too much, and those folks. Isn't it time that you sought out the truth? Isn't it time you dug around for yourself and found out some of these lies they've been telling and asked questions? Why would my president lie to me like this? Why? Why the secrecy? Why the lies about the war? Why the lies about the economy? Why the lies about the job? Don't you wonder? I do. Can you really ask yourself the question, if you're an average American like I am, can you really ask yourself a question, am I better off than I was 3 years ago, and answer the question yes? You know, 99% of you cannot answer that question yes. I know that. I know where I stand, where I was 3 years ago, and I'm not better off now, and many, many, many of my friends are not either. Some of you might have hit it lucky and been a little better off. You've had some financial good fortune in one way or another, but in most ways, job security, economic taxes, you know, that tax increase or tax decrease didn't help most of you. It didn't help most of you a bit. And yet you still stand behind this man, and you still believe all the malarkey that they're putting out day after day after day. Why? Why would you do that? All I'm asking on this program is for you to listen to the truth. And like we always say, don't listen to me if you don't want to. Dig out the truth. Find the truth. Don't depend on Fox News to give you your truth. Don't depend on Newsmax.com to give you your truth. Go to an objective place and find your news and dig out the truth for yourself. Find it for yourself. A lot of you are going to be very disappointed to what you find. You're going to find out that this charlatan in the White House has been leading you astray, been telling you lies all along. And that's a shame. Please go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. Help keep the show on the air, if you will. We'd appreciate it very much. You're listening to The Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
A search for survivors in Baltimore's harbor. I'm Joan Bennett. A water taxi with about 25 passengers aboard capsized today in Baltimore's inner harbor. Divers are still searching for 10 people missing. At least two of the injured suffered cardiac arrest. Heavy winds and